about.
Hey, this is Barack. Listen, I need to know if you're on board. Okay, good. Because I'm counting on you. Everybody is.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The level of incompetence in this office is staggering.
Obviously.
My girls, we had problems too. We're just like you, except we're hot, hot, hot.
Can we maybe try something a little more black?
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. Lay your body down and get you pregnant.
Knock you up pregnant.
A black guy.
And now.
Black is not a color.
Tell that to black people.
I don't know any.
Our feature presentation.
Did you see the news about R. Kelly with some more trapped in the closet on the way?
Yes, I did, actually.
I haven't seen anything new on that in a while. Have you heard something recent?
Last week
there was a report, and I'm not positive if it was just new for the TV station, whatever it was, BET or whichever. But it looked like he was going to start writing some new trapped in the closet.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm a huge R. Kelly fan, by the way. I know we like to make fun of Trapped in the Closet because they're terrible and hilarious.
But I'm not.
Actually, his regular music, like his last few albums, have just been terrific.
Yeah, I can't get over the, the thing with his goddaughter.
Right.
Yes, I'm not his goddaughter.
Right. I'm not saying I would hire him to babysit my kids.
Right.
I'm just saying I enjoy his music. That's what I'm saying. So I think he's an insanely talented dude. But, he's honked up. Hey, welcome on in, people. It's Wednesday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How's everybody doing?
Hey, people.
Hey, people.
We're
What's
good.
Peeps. Hey, you. here's the thing about these carnival games. You know, we're getting into fair season here. I guess the LA County Fair is open now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And we all know that it's a fool's errand to try to win these carnival games, right? I mean, they're fixed, right? They use forced perspective to make it look like the angles are one thing, or they make things a little bit too small for, you know, the ball to go through or whatever it is. I mean, they do everything they can to make it almost impossible for you to win the prize.
You
correct?
Can do it, but you have to spend $200,000 for a tiny little plastic toy.
Yes, you are. I mean, I don't know how they don't get shut down. I don't know how they're legal, but I guess they managed to just skirt the edges of what's allowed in
right.
terms of the way they set these games up. So that's why this story is so interesting. This guy lives in Detroit. His name is Peter Drakos. He is a car salesman, and he is insanely, as this article says, insanely, incredibly, unbelievably good at carnival games. At the age of 9, he won enough stuffed animals to give one to every one of the 200 children at his school.
No kidding.
55 years later, he's so good at the bottle throw and the ring toss that carnivals across the country have limited the number of prizes that a single player can win. His quote to CBS News was, "I don't want to say it's all because of me, but it's all because of me." His favorite is flipping a quarter on the plate. He says the trick there is to throw the quarter up in the air for height. The higher you throw it, the straighter it will come down.
Yeah, I've done that. Doesn't help.
Oh, really? Have you tried to win that game, the quarter on the
plate? Yeah.
Try to impress your kids. Hey, check this out.
Yeah,
I'll win you that teddy bear.
Yeah, absolutely. I can win 200.
One of his best performances was at the Michigan State Fair in 1982. In 15 minutes, he won 32 human-sized teddy bears, and they closed down the booth. In case you're wondering, by the way, what he does with all the animals and the toys, he gives them away. He has won an average of 5,500 stuffed animals every year since 1972. By the way, how much is this dude going to fairs?
No kidding. 5,000 per year since 72?
He has donated almost 250,000 toys to over 50 charities.
That's kind of great.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? When you see the faces of the kids, it's really worth it. Sometimes it brings tears to your eyes because you know how happy they are. But this is just incredible. I mean, I don't know anything else about him except for the fact that he lives in Detroit. He's a car salesman. I don't know if he has other exceptional skills that he's, you know, he's somehow able to use the same talent that helps him win these carnival games. But, boy, is that that's a Rain Man-type precision to be able to win that much.
Probably
right?
not. He probably can't use that for anything else. Just going to the fair.
But I'm surprised they don't bar him like they do in Vegas.
Like they do in casinos, yeah.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, you don't want to see this guy coming. He's going to clean you out. Mm-hmm. But you would think that he must have some sort of, exceptional, I don't know, eyesight or hand-eye coordination or math skills or something to be able to beat these games.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's a strange thing because you look at it and you go, okay, if I just do this, then it'll work. And it never does. Never does.
Exactly.
So maybe he can just see it better if I just do something else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But please notice, though, no blood, no penises, no degloving.
Oh, good. No penises.
No death.
That's good.
Once in a while, I just want you to take note of the fact that it's just a regular good news story to get us going.
Although we don't know what he's doing with the teddy bears.
Well, that's a good point.
Keeps, you know.
What he does with them before he gives them to the children's hospital.
Exactly.
Oh, God, you guys.
Exactly. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Mitt Romney says no.
I don't remember asking him. Andrew Siciliano will be here in the studio talking about the NFL.
Yep.
So excited.
You know, the regular season starts, tonight.
Yeah.
How about that? Can't wait. We also have girls who do phone sex we need to talk to today.
Lisa.
Do or did?
Oh, I never got paid for it. I mean, I do it.
Just to be a good girlfriend.
Just as an amateur.
Maybe I should just write that in. Girls who do phone sex for money, for profit.
Yes, put that in there.
We also have a brand new Bean's Death Corner. He's very excited about all the death.
This is why he, this morning, didn't have to give us blood or anything, because he's been sated.
He has an outlet for it. Yeah. Michael Jackson, I don't know if you've been following all the lawsuits that are going back and forth, but everybody's trying to get, the insurance company's trying to get out of paying, and the family's suing, and everybody's upset. Jeez. But the emails that are going back and forth about Michael Jackson and the shape he was in the final days... Unbelievable. They would come for a press conference or something. They would knock on the door. He would be, in their words, drunk and despondent and depressed. And he had anxiety. Like, there's no way he's going to be able to do it.
You know, that's so different from what we had heard. Well, and they had that film about rehearsal. And everyone, you know, we looked at that and said, nah, that's not true. He looks good.
Yeah.
Well, most of that film, it turns out, was filmed in the last 2 weeks when he did kind of briefly pull his act together, but a little bit too late for his health. But I remember at the time all those concerts were announced, I don't think there was anybody who thought he was going to be able to do 50 concerts.
Yeah, I bet against it myself. I would just say no possible way. Yeah. And apparently it just weighed on him so much that he was just out of control. They would have to the suits of the guys that were meeting with him, they would have to change into street clothes because he doesn't trust people in suits.
I'm with him. I'm with Michael.
Same guy. He would talk to the same guy, but the guy would have to not be wearing a suit. Like, that makes the difference.
It's just bizarre.
Yeah. Ask an Alien Abductee on today's show.
Speaking of bizarre.
Well, we talked to Bridget. She put up a YouTube thing about her. And
they're called videos.
What it was like for her to get taken by the aliens and the probing.
Always the probing.
She has a lot of hybrid children, she calls them. Half alien, half human children.
I plan to recreate what the aliens did with Bridget today with Bridget.
Yeah, sure. So that's coming up this morning as well. We're going to tell you about something called Vulva the Scent.
No.
Nope.
Yep.
Nope.
Mitt Romney says no.
Well, I'm actually with Mitt on this one.
Mitt would say no.
We have Lewis Black coming up in about a half hour.
I love
what?
Him.
Very excited about that. He's one of the best. He's one of our favorite comedians. So we'll do that coming up in about a half hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
From The Daily Show on Comedy Central and a terrific life of stand-up and playwriting and acting, Lewis Black joins us coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph, you got to stick around.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Got to talk to your boy Lou. I know how much you love him. He's coming up here in just a few minutes, so hope you'll stick around for that after we take a look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, Bean's got to be very excited.
How come?
Because Taco Bell's making a drink just for him.
I haven't heard about this. What's going on with Taco Bell?
I'm just very excited. I just, it's not showbiz, but I just wanted to bring it up because I was on the way in, and I said, oh, Bean would love this. They're working on a new breakfast menu of Taco Bell.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And they have a new breakfast soda. Called Mountain Dew AM. It was a combination of Mountain Dew and orange juice. Some are calling it the White Trash Mimosa.
Wow, that sounds bad if you think about those two tastes together.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it sounds kind of great.
Sound good?
Yeah.
You'd put vodka in it though, right, Ralph?
Oh, hell, sure. I put vodka in everything in the morning.
I see, right?
But
vodka in your Cheerios?
Mountain Dew AM. Mountain Dew and orange juice. Mmm. That'll give you a jolt in the morning.
I guess
wake you right up without caffeine. about 17 teaspoons of sugar, I guess, in a regular-sized one. That gets your heart started.
Hey, Taco Bell's on a roll, man. We were talking last week about this the Dorito Taco thing that they're doing now. It is the runaway food sensation of the year. I mean, they sold 200 million of them or something. I mean, they're just putting things together, and it's working for them.
Taco Bell has their finger on the pulse.
Yes, they do.
Yes. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Emily Robinson of the Dixie Chicks is a mommy again. She gave birth to a baby girl named Violet on Tuesday. Her dad is Martin Strayer of the band Courtyard Hounds. Already, country music fans are telling Emily Robinson to shut up and sing. So,
that's weird.
Wow, that is out of line. She just had a baby, for God's sakes. While we're talking about music, people talking about Nicki Minaj in the new Lil Wayne mixtape song, Dedication 4. She raps, "I'm a Republican, voting for Mitt Romney." So
Mitt Romney says no.
You can't. She can vote whoever she wants for, Mitt. She gets the... the nod for representing for Mitt.
I am disappointed in this news because this comes too late for them to add her to the speakers of the Republican National Convention last week, which would have been amazing.
The rest of the rap, you lazy bitches are effing up the economy. No word on who she's referring to exactly, but I'm guessing it's Kevin.
How dare you? It's people in charge, which is soon going to be me.
Green Day is doing something for the first time ever. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I guess it's a smart business decision. After years of not allowing anyone to censor their albums, Billy Joe, Mike, and Trey have given the okay for their record label to offer clean versions of the upcoming trio of new albums, Uno, Dos, and Trey. This means Walmart will be able to sell Green Day albums for the very first time ever, making Green Day a boatload more of money. Instead of just bleeping out any offensive words from the new songs, Green Day's actually recorded clean versions.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that'll sound much better.
And the band has also made a clean version of its American Idiot album available.
Boy, something changed.
So, first time ever, Green Day
F word, MF word, S word, G word, D word, GD word.
For big venues like Walmart.
Those clean versions, though, I always think of...
Enough is enough! Yeah. I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
They've had the same impact, right?
You don't want to get on a Monday to Friday plane.
You don't, that's true.
You want one of those weekend planes. Tom Cruise's lawyer, Burt Fields, is all over that Vanity Fair story we were talking about yesterday, which claims the Church of Scientology held auditions for a mate for Tom Cruise after his divorce from Nicole Kidman was final.
Mr. Fields loves it, right?
He loves it.
Very excited.
Here's the thing, Burt Fields, and I say this often, specifically about Tom Cruise, one of his clients. The more you release press releases talking about your outrage of it, the longer you keep the story alive. It just drives more attention to that article. I want to read it now more because Burt Fields is so upset with it than I did really before.
Yeah.
Especially when I read the parts that he's upset about that I didn't even know were in this article.
It's nice that he helped you out with that.
He did. Apparently, this actress... Nazanian Boniadi.
Have you seen her?
Yeah, she's way hot.
Yeah.
She was selected as Tom's go-to girl. She was an actress who was a Scientologist, who the powers that be at Scientology thought would be an appropriate mate for Tom, allegedly. When they broke up, when she was not up to the task, apparently she was forced to clean toilets with a toothbrush and dig ditches in the middle of the night at the compound as a punishment.
Really?
That, again, is according to the story. But I didn't know that the details were even in there. Now I'm fascinated. Now I have to go read it.
Now you have to read it.
Well done, Burt Fields.
Imagine how weird it would be if you're one of these actresses who applies for this job. I mean, you're sitting around waiting for that call to find out that you got the job. But instead of, hey, you're going to be in this movie, it's, hey, congratulations, you get to marry Tom Cruise.
Yeah. In what film? Do I play his wife or I play his fiance? No. You marry Tom Cruise.
Allegedly.
I wonder... Maybe there's no way to know unless Katie one day breaks down and talks, but I wonder if there's ever any kind of love in this deal or if it's just strictly a business relationship. I will play your wife and we'll go through the motions and we'll have a kid.
I don't know.
I wonder.
No one will ever know. And while we're talking about marriage, even sadder news after the passing of Michael Clark Duncan at the age of 54 from a serious heart condition. It turns out that they weren't telling the press, but Michael and Omarosa were engaged to be married, and they had a wedding date set for next January.
I knew it was her.
Apparently, they had made the plans They were just starting making plans for the wedding when Michael went to cardiac arrest last July. So even harder for Omarosa than just losing her boyfriend. She lost her fiancé, so that is sad news. Look, I'm no Omarosa fan. I never cared for her attitude and behavior on television, but still hate to see anyone go through that.
Maybe his realizing that he was about to marry her is what brought on the heart attack.
How dare you?
Somebody pulled him aside and said, you know who Omarosa is,
here, I want you to watch a season of this show. It's called The Apprentice, and then you think about your life.
Ralph, I don't know if it was real or not, but a couple people yesterday were posting a screen cap, what looked like from Channel 7 News, of the Michael Clark Duncan Obit story.
Yes.
And they used Terry Crews' photo behind them.
No, they didn't.
We have to said Michael Clark Duncan had his birth and death years, and then Terry Crews behind him. We should source that.
Yes,
see if
we
that
should.
Is in fact the deal.
And Russell Crowe has been cast to play Noah in the biblical epic of the same name. Noah, of course, the legendary zookeeper who got two of each and put him on a big boat and saved him from that big flood. Well, Russell is a method actor, and according to sources, he has stopped taking showers to be more realistic and to put himself into that time period.
Really?
People around him say he smells really bad.
Can't they do that with makeup, etc.?
Actually, people around him say, he smells really bad as they hold their nose. That's just, try acting, dear boy. Yeah. So much easier, in the words of Laurence Olivier. And Puddle of Mud frontman Wes Scantlin's in trouble with the law again. Police in Austin, Texas say he was removed from an American Airlines flight and charged with public intoxication. It gets worse because here's the thing. Wes was belligerent and drunk and got angry with a flight attendant who refused to serve him more alcohol because he was already, in her opinion, loaded. So they had to make an emergency landing.
What?
Flight on its way from Boston to Los Angeles had to land in Texas and have him removed from the plane. Can you imagine? I would be so furious if some drunk asshole,
yeah, me too,
was just making up enough stink about a bottle of booze that we had to stop in the mid-flight and have an emergency landing to get him off the plane. You're ruining my travel plans by being a drunk douchebag. Back in July, by the way, Wes got nabbed with cocaine possession, and the judge let him off with a warning that if he stayed out of trouble for 18 months, his record would be cleared.
Well, that worked.
Well, the 18 months has not passed. He got into more trouble. So, plus, by the way, he's being charged with interfering with a flight crew, which is a federal offense. So he's in trouble a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kat Graham, actress from The Vampire Diaries, is 26 years old today. You feel free to ring that bell,
yeah,
there, Bean.
Please.
Snooty bitch Rose McGowan celebrates her 39th birthday today. Dweezil Zappa of the legendary musical Zappa family celebrates his 43rd birthday. Brad Wilk of Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave celebrates his 44th
birthday. He's a midget, right? Little person.
That's a Brad Williams.
I'm very different.
Different guy.
Sorry.
Raquel Welch is 72 years old today. By the way, the hottest 72-year-old you'll ever see, if a category exists.
Not in my life.
Bob Newhart, legendary comedian and sitcom actor, is 83 years old today. Still sharp as he ever was, too, by the way. It's remarkable. And Michael Keaton, one of our favorites.
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton celebrates his 61st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeehaw! Yeehaw!
We like pig.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 6:08.
Hey, Florence and the Machine are coming to the Hollywood Bowl. We love that Florence, right? She's adorable.
She's the best. I mean, she's not bad either, by the way.
She's against the Machine, I've heard.
No,
radio DJ told me
that was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Nope. They're fine.
Never trust anything you hear on our show, Ralph. Look, she is back together with the Machine, and they're fine, and they're going to be at the Hollywood Bowl on October 7th. That one's sold out. The 8th, tickets are still available. We're giving away tickets to Florence and the Machine at the Bowl all week long here on Good Old K-Rock, and you're qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday this time around because of the holiday to see the band one more time, this time in Paris, the one in France, which is good Paris, by the way. And that includes round-trip airfare, hotel, spending cash, and tickets for Florence in Paris. So, pretty good deal. All right, we're always excited, and it's always a thrill when we get to talk to the America's foremost commentator on everything. You know him and love him from The Daily Show, and many appearances on The Kevin and Bean Show. Lewis Black is back, everybody.
Hey.
Yes. Hi, Lou. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
How are you, man?
The sad thing is that once I stopped talking to you, I got 95 more radio shows. and you guys are the fun ones.
This is good. We get your A game. Everyone else just gets leftovers, Lou.
Oh, man, I'm peaking now. and it's going to be all downhill. You know what it's going to be like. You know exactly what it's going to be like.
Yes, we do. You have hell in store.
A lot of bells, a lot of whistles in your future this morning, Louis. How come you don't have to be at the conventions? Have you finally put your foot down and said, no, I'm not going?
No, they stopped me a long time ago. I went to one, and that was that.
Somebody else said, that'll never happen again.
Yeah, and I'm kind of glad. I can't watch it. I'm an adult. I can't watch it.
I can imagine, Lou, having you near that much hypocrisy and insanity would just make you go into seizures if you were at the convention.
Does. I mean, it's hard enough. You know, I had trouble with pep rallies when I was 15.
Right.
A four-day pep rally. We're not even playing ball.
Yeah. No, you're right. And look, I don't want to go off on this tangent because we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but I was thinking about this last night. They're completely pointless. Once we got to the point where we are in politics where you know who the nominee is going to be, there's really no reason to have a convention, right?
No, none at all. None, except to just taunt us.
It's the pep rally thing. It's to get everybody excited.
It's to get the faithful excited.
Right,
boy,
faithful.
Boy, oh boy. Yeah, that's what I like to. That's what I also like to do is to watch the Go to a Promise Keepers rally.
But at least it's an excellent use of money.
Yeah, it's really terrific. You know, in the midst,
about
I'd rather
that.
Watch. So, yeah, no, seriously, I'd rather watch Paul Ryan throw and Biden stand side by side and see who can throw quarters and flush them down the toilet.
when Mitt Romney spoke the other night and they released 100,000 balloons on his head, I thought that's a pretty penny. That cost a dollar. I mean, think about what a waste that is. That alone.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. It's extraordinary. But inside each one was a little thing, a little ticket. And if you got the little tickets, you got two for one meal at the TGIF.
Wow, well, that's a great I didn't realize that.
I didn't know that.
Ralph, tell Mr. Black what you've been doing in your car for the last week nonstop.
Lou, I got to tell you, I got an advanced copy of In God We Rust, the CD version, the compact disc. Yeah. And I popped it in the car, and you know driving around Los Angeles can make you just weep with anger. But I was listening to your CD, and I was laughing my ass off. It was the best experience I've had in L.A. traffic in years, and I just wanted to thank you for that. It's a very, very funny CD. Very funny.
Oh, that's great. Thanks a lot, Ralph.
But then he started yelling at everybody.
Yeah, of course.
So why don't you learn how to drive before I drive your car for you?
This In God We Rust that Ralph's talking about, the CD version, is going to be showing on your TV Friday night at midnight on Comedy Central. And like they do at Comedy Central that we love so much, is the following Tuesday it's going to be available out on the Director's Cut Blu-ray, the DVD, the CD. It's all going to be available for you to buy on the Tuesday. This was a special that you did not long ago in Minneapolis. What kind of ground did you cover in this one, Lou?
I kind of go through why the Democrats and the Republicans can't be pointing fingers at each other all the time because they're both wrong.
Okay.
You know, for the 12,000th time, I have to say that. I feel like I'm some idiot wandering in the desert just screeching, you know, like some bad reptile.
Because what you're saying makes sense, and yet no one cares.
Nobody cares. No, they really need their sides. They need to have sides.
But Lou, you've been asking for a third party for some time now, and now you finally got one.
Yeah, I got one. Yeah, who knew?
The Tea Party. Now that's your party, right?
But it's not a party, you know, because they're Republicans. So shut up. You're not a third party, idiots. You know, then how come you're with them, you pigs? Ridiculous.
Lou says on the CD that it's the only party that can make people come out of their double wides dressed like Ben Franklin screaming, "Don't tax the rich."
I understand in your personal life that you are being harassed by Mr. Obama. Is it true that you can't get away from his goddamn emails, Lou?
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. It's like, you know, it's almost enough to drive me to vote for Romney. Romney doesn't bother me. He's got all those guys giving him money. He don't need me. I mean, every day I get like seven of them send us $3. The ship is sinking. We're all going to die.
And you don't send him any money, Lou? That really surprises me.
No, I'm not sending him a dime. I just send money to politicians. I'm not going to send money to the people who are giving me the stroke.
As I was listening to the concert, Lou, I thought, there you are in Minnesota, Michelle Bachman country, and you were remarkably restrained when it came to talking about her, I thought.
Yeah, I was. I was. Well, if I kind of finally figured out what I meant to say afterwards. You know, it's like, then a month later, he goes, that's the line.
No. If you could just have it back one more time.
Just one more time. That's all I'm asking.
Well, the special sounds amazing, as they always are. In God We Rust is what it's called. Again, Friday night at midnight on Comedy Central, and you can buy it in any format you desire on the following Tuesday. And if you're going to be in New York, don't miss Lewis Black on stage and yet another new show called Running on Empty. That's going to be at the Richard Rogers Theater in New York starting October 9th. Lou, you're the best, man. Enjoy 4 hours of hell with phone calls just like this one for the rest of your day, man. We appreciate your time.
Don't push me off the ship. Let me stay with you.
Good luck. I would like to begin by saying that we did a little research behind the scenes because we couldn't imagine that what we're about to tell you is true.
I could imagine it was true.
Wait, Bean, you still think it's not true?
I still think it's a giant internet prank.
How much do I have to tell you?
Well, do you know a guy who bought it and received it in the mail?
Yes.
Okay, there's that, but I'm still saying it's not true.
Yeah, but other than that.
Look, can we apologize in advance for what our listeners are about to hear?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm concerned how we're going to talk about what we're about to
hear.
As
am I.
Ralph, how'd you find out about vulva-original.com? Again, that's vulva-original.com. How'd you come across this website?
An acquaintance
I'm terrified of
mine, of
what your Google searches must look like.
Acquaintance of mine said, I ordered this product because he enjoys the aroma of women.
Right.
And so he sent me the link to a commercial for this fragrance.
Is that the commercial where the guy smells the bike seat?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a man who
I just tweeted that one.
It's a physical trainer. It's a personal trainer who is working out with a beautiful young woman who is riding one of those spin bikes, one of those stationary bikes.
Sure.
And when she's done working out, he is aroused by the aroma that was left behind on the seat of that stationary bicycle. And it's so much so, he actually takes the seat home with him.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So but while they through all that.
Now they've removed the seat.
Right. Why do you have to go through all that process?
Just bottled it.
When you can just go to vulva-original.com and get a classy vial of your own scent of womanhood.
Vulva Original. Worldwide unique. The real eratifying vaginal scent of a desirable woman.
That's right.
Aren't you leaving behind the best part of the vagina, which is the ability to see?
Yeah, easy, easy.
No, I'm just saying you're taking one aspect of the vagina and you're leaving all – I think you're leaving all of the best parts on the plate.
This is not a substitute for. This is in addition to. This is when you're not with a lady. You have the ability to recreate in your mind the fantasy, the imaginary situation of that, but the added...
I'm able to do that on my own.
But this gives you the added essence. This gives, besides the other senses, this gives you the added additional scent that you can use to imagine that scenario, and it becomes a very erotic experience for some, and I would say for most.
We asked producer Dave to please find out more about vulva-original.com, and sure enough, the creator of the scent and the man who runs the site, Mr. Lenson, joins us.
Mr. Lenson.
All right.
On the phone, I believe from Germany, Mr. Lenson, can you hear us all right, sir?
Yes, perfectly. Hi. Nice to be on your show.
Thank you so much for joining us. As you heard on hold, we have had some discussion. Some of us do not believe your product is real, but you say it is.
That's correct. I mean, Vulva Original is a worldwide unique self-stimulation erotic product, and it is a serious product, even it sounds a little bit strange. It is a real vaginal scent for your own smelling pleasure.
There you go.
And it is unique because it is real. There are real organic substances of a real woman inside that product.
How did you get that to happen?
I guess that would be our first question. How do you harvest?
Really?
There you go. Harvest the essence, the aroma.
This is what they do before they send him to the hostel in those movies.
The question is how we make it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Of course. This is the most asked question. So we are selling a stylish product, a beautiful flacon, a glass vial covered with a designful package. and a wonderful website, but we only sell this precious secret. And how we do this, of course, is a secret. But you can be sure that there are real organic substances inside the product of a German
but
beautiful woman.
You should put, like, the face of the person on each vial. Because, you know, I want Alessandro Ambrosio. I want Katy Perry. I don't want Rosie O'Donnell. You know what I mean? Like, it
yes,
makes...
of course. But the anonymous fact is also a very important fact, because all the men don't know what woman is really. I mean, it is a 25-year-old beautiful woman. And, of course, we don't show the face of that woman.
Yeah, that would be indiscreet.
We made, of course, and we made a lot of tests with different women and different ages, and, of course, with a large group of men who tested the different senses. And we chose that scent all men love best.
Why can't we get in on that testing process? Yeah. we're too late to the game.
I would be like part of that consumer group.
In our cupboard, we have two different senses too. I mean, Vulva 18 is a younger version, and Vulva Exotic is for the bad boys, a more heavier version.
Did you find, Mr. Lesson, that the scent of a younger, more of childbearing age, a woman of that age, was more pleasant for men when they did the testing?
No, I mean the scent of an 18-year-old girl is different than the scent of a 45-year-old girl.
You got that right, sir.
But as I told you, we have chosen that scent. All the test group of men love best, and this is a girl from 25-year-old. I mean. That's why we chose that scent.
Okay. Mr. Lenson, again, for our listeners, the site is vulva, vulva-original.com. So most of what comes in the bottle is made in a laboratory, and then you add organic substance from a real woman. Is that accurate, would you say?
I mean, you can open your fantasies how you like. We don't say a lot of how we do it.
Yeah, it's a trade secret.
Okay.
Of course, there were a lot of people who were working in that process, and of course also in the laboratories. But there are real organic substances inside.
Gotcha. Now this is not.
And we don't sell the product in any sex shop. Only on the website. This is also because I want to have a product as an exclusive and unique product.
But okay. the use of the product, sir, I would think, is primarily for men to engage in sexual fantasy while using this as an additional enhancement to that experience, correct?
Correct. For example, there is a businessman, lonesome, lying on his bed and watching a boring program. Then he can choose pay TV, and he starts to trigger the erotic feelings.
Yes.
And now he can see something, he can hear something, and he can also touch something, maybe himself or a toy, but for the smell, he has nothing, and or he's a lucky guy and his wife put him somewhere in panty in his luggage. But
right.
So with Vulva Original, he can close the circle of senses and there are attractions.
You get Vulva four triggers. Out of the five senses that way. That's pretty strong.
You can buy a double vial and a pair of panties from the site as well.
Well, sure. sometimes you need a delivery mechanism.
Before we run out of time, Mr. Lansing, can you tell us how you first came up with this idea for Vulva Original?
Yeah, before I got the idea of developing Vulva Original, I was the owner of a successful advertising agency, and after selling my company, I had the vision of creating Vulva, a worldwide unique and high-class product with a stylish and exclusive view, a desirable product what the world really needs, in my eyes. So I put all my money and passion and heart blood into developing the product and with a team of scientists from all over the world. And in the erotic market, you can find millions of stimulation articles for all senses. Yes.
Right.
On the sense of the smell, nobody put a focus till now. And that, for me, was unbelievable.
And scientifically, has been proven that the sense of smell is one of the most powerful in terms of triggering memories and thoughts and fantasies.
Correct. Yeah. That's it. Hmm. That's it.
Now, all right. you've got the smell covered, and we've got touch, as we mentioned, and sight and sound. Are there any plans for vulvasicles or a lozenge or some gum or something so I can have the taste sensation as well with vulva?
Maybe.
The next step. You need to expand your line, sir.
Think about the gum.
First of all, we will bring out Vulva 18, a white package. Vulva Original is a black one, and Vulva Exotic is a metallic bronze package, and then we will see. I mean, the most of customers come from the United States, from Canada,
sure. Is that right?
Scandinavia, and the most from Japan. That's correct.
Oh, that sure surprised me.
They're freaky.
All right, sure. My last question for you, sir, and please, Lisa, do not take offense. Do you have anything to make the smell go away?
I hope not, because I love that scent.
But that's the nice part. You put the cap on, and it's over, and you don't have to hear her talk to you or anything afterwards.
Oh, there you go. That's a good point.
I love the scent all the day around me.
All right.
Can you imagine what the laboratory looks like over there at Vulva Labs? Just a bunch of hot 25-year-old girls sitting on vials.
Vulva-original.com is the website. I think I have been convinced. Mr. Lenson has been our guest. Thank you so much for joining us at the Kevin and Bean Show today. We enjoyed it, sir.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
It's world famous K-Rock at 6:54. I know you think this program has probably already peaked after talking to that guy with the vagina stuff, right?
I did, right after we talked to him.
You sure ran out of here fast.
I did.
It's Ask an Alien Abductee coming up next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. So definitely stick around for that. Now Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday.
I'm going to put some of that vulva fragrance on Bridget when she gets here. And it'll be like aliens and vulvas. It'll be everything, all good things.
You
in
already
one,
have
in
it?
One break.
You already have the...
I always carry a little vial.
Tasteful, beautiful vial or whatever he said.
I always carry a little classy glass vial around with me. It has a roll-on applicator, by the way, in case you have any trouble getting it on.
Mitt Romney says no.
That doesn't surprise me, Mitt. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. Prince Harry put on his big boy pants and faced the public for the first time since those nude photos of his drunken billiards game went viral.
Hey, at least he put pants on.
I know.
You should be proud.
He should be.
I'm not kidding.
Having a good time.
What a stiff family that is.
He got dressed up and went to the Well Child Awards ceremony in the UK to celebrate the lives of seriously ill children and the doctors who take care of them. He called the medical staff too remarkable, described with mere words, and joked that he's never one to be shy in coming forward and wanted to give it a go. He I thought it was pretty brave of him to face everybody in the light of what's been going on. He could have laid low for a while longer and tried to let things blow over, but he went out there and didn't seem the least bit ashamed of what he had done, and I agree with Kevin. Good for him that he was out there. By the way, have you seen the Facebook page, Support Prince Harry?
No.
It's called Support Prince Harry with a Naked Salute, and it's people covering up their junk with one hand, nude, while saluting him with the other. So far, 33,000 photos people have sent in.
Wow.
Of themselves nude, covering up their junk with one hand while saluting Prince Harry. So he gets a lot of love from the people.
32,999 are guys?
Well, of course, they're all guys,
because
that's what he is, and they're mimicking his photo of himself covering himself, but they're adding a little salute to him, so to show their support for Harry, which I think is great. It's good times.
That's what the Queen had to say.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
So we don't know what that is.
Couldn't be happier that Hillary Duff and Lindsay Lohan are friends again.
Oh, great.
Because, you know, they famously had a very bitter split in 2003 because Lindsay stole Hillary's then boyfriend Aaron Carter from her. So they had a split, but they patched things up and they're friends again.
The words Lindsay and stole are together a lot.
Word is that Lindsay felt Hillary could help her stay out of the party scene since she's a wife, mom, and has her stuff together, so she's trying to get a better influence in her life. Either that or Hillary Duff's going to start doing blow off her toddler's forehead. Just saying. The power of Lilo might be a little more powerful than the Hill Duff. She's married to Mike Comrie, right? Hillary Duff?
I don't know who she's married to.
Hockey player?
I think so. Oh, yeah, I think that's right.
I believe so. I mentioned last week that they're looking to reboot Beverly Hills Cop. This time as a TV series. Eddie Murphy has come up with the idea of returning to the character of Axel Foley. This time in a TV series version, Axel Foley will have risen in the Detroit Police Department to become chief of police, and his son, Aaron, will be a cop struggling to make it in Beverly Hills. And that series is now a go. CBS apparently picking up the show.
No kidding.
Eddie Murphy will produce and appear occasionally as Axel Foley in that role. No word on the casting of Aaron Foley, the actor who will play his son on the show. But the series has a production commitment from CBS. No one's talking about how many episodes yet, but it looks like it's going to happen.
First of all, I'd like to suggest the retarded policeman gets that job. Second of all,
come on.
doesn't it seem like if Eddie Murphy is willing to revisit Beverly Hills Cop, that there's a lot of money to be made in making a movie first?
I do, too.
You would think.
However, in terms of his workload, if he doesn't want to do any heavy lifting...
Yeah, that's true.
He becomes an executive producer on this show. It's his idea. He shows up once in a while, and like producers like Bruckheimer and others before him, who have come up with a successful franchise, you just make an ridiculous amount of money on and on and on. It's ongoing. Instead of one payday, you get like an annuity. You just get a salary forever.
Yeah, if you're J.J. Abrams or somebody, you come up with a show that's on the air for 5 years, you might not even need to have anything to do with it after the launch, right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. The old Sopranos gang is getting back together again. Speaking of television, not a movie, and not a Sopranos project, but a lot of the cast is returning to do another project. One of the actors from the show, Steve Sciarra, has written a movie for Nickelodeon, the kids' channel, based on a teenager named Nicky Borelli II. Name of the project is Nicky Deuce, who is sent to live with his uncle in Brooklyn for the summer and winds up meeting members of his Italian-American family he didn't know existed. The cast includes James Gandolfini, Michael Imperioli, Tony Sciarra, and Vincent Curatola. All cast members from The Sopranos returning again for another project. Gandolfini will play a guy named Bobby Eggs. And it's for young folks, but apparently it's going to be a comedy based around a big of Italian-American family. So The Sopranos gang getting back together. Not the way we'd like to see them, but it'll be fun to see those actors working together again. And how much was Dick Clark worth when he passed away?
How much
do you think his production company, Dick Clark Productions, was worth?
I have no way of knowing.
When he passed. Well, it sold yesterday.
$10,000?
It sold yesterday. $10,000? That's a good guess, Kevin. It sold yesterday for $370 million.
Wow.
It was purchased by a group of investors, which included Peter Guber's Mandalay Entertainment, Mosaic Media, Guggenheim Partners. This production company produces Dick Clark's, of course, New Year's Rockin' Eve, the American Music Awards, the Academy of Country Music Awards, the Golden Globe Awards, the reality show So You Think You Can Dance. They've got a ton of productions that are very viable, and a lot of people were interested in picking those up. And it sold yesterday for $370 million.
They should do a hologram of Dick Clark on New Year's Eve.
Yeah, but...
when he used to be able to count.
No, you bring him back as we knew and love him.
At the end.
Give me a little Dick. Give me a little Dick, Bean.
Oh, yeah, give me a sec.
Not the first time that's been said.
By the way, I heard that Seacrest was in the market for that. He was trying to buy it. He got outbid, right?
Yep.
All right, let's see here. I'm sorry, I did not have that handy, and I'm having trouble finding something particular.
How about Dick counting down for the ball drop? Anything? Dick Clark. Just look under Dick or Clark.
They came to party, and they were disappointed.
There we go.
All right, let's count it down. 20, 19, 16, 17, 9, 12, 10, 4, 14. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year! I'm with Ralph. That's the hologram.
You're right.
You need
the hologram.
You're right. That's the one.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Rose McGowan's 39 years old today. Musician, TV personality, member of the Zappa family. Dweezil Zappa is 43 years old. Brad Wilk of Rage Against the Machine and Audioslave, the drummer for those bands, 44 years old. Actor Michael Keaton. I'm Batman. He's 61 years old. Raquel Welch turned 72. And actor, comedian, legend, Bob Newhart, 83 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Again, that's the band that we're sending you to see at the Hollywood Bowl, sold out. Well, they got one night with some tickets still available. I think that's the 8th if you want to go see Florence and the Machine. Or you can win them here from the world-famous K-Rock and be eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Monday to go see the band in beautiful Paris in France. Florence and the Machine all this week here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Let's talk about Michael Jackson for a second. Remember when he came out and he announced that he was going to do those shows at the O2 in London and he said this?
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it. This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final. This is... the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
Right. Now, so he comes out and he makes that announcement, and now there are two different lawsuits going on. One is the insurance company is saying everybody knew he was sicker than they were telling us, to which I say, I have to do a physical before I get an insurance coverage.
Of course.
How does he not?
Yeah, absolutely.
And two is the family's suing the promoters for forcing him to do more shows than he wanted to, or I don't know what's
happening. Running him into the ground.
But there are a lot of emails that are now coming out. One of them is AEG's Randy Phillips wrote his boss, and this was just before that announcement, just before he came out and had the press conference. And it says, quote, "Michael is an emotional, paralyzed mess." He was writing from Jackson's London hotel suite. He's locked up in his room, drunk, and despondent.
Wow.
By the way, let me just interject here that until this article that came out in the Los Angeles Times over the weekend, they did some excellent reporting on this. Until I read this article, I don't believe I have ever seen a report of Michael Jackson drinking a drop of alcohol, much less having a problem with alcohol or being habitually drunk.
I don't think that he knows drunk versus
loaded on something else.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, drugged.
Who knows what it was?
But I mean, have you guys? I thought that he didn't drink alcohol at all, and I don't know if I just assumed that was because of a being a Jehovah's Witness or whatever. But I was really surprised to hear that frequently they would go to him in his room, and he would be paralyzed and paranoid and drunk and just not wanting to get out and just having huge mental doubts as to whether he could even rehearse, much less perform in concert. They were already talking about, Lisa, listen to this. They were already talking about how he was not going to be in good enough shape for the opening of these O2 shows, that he was going to have to lip sync some of his songs because he wasn't in good enough health to dance and sing at the same time. That's not the Michael Jackson we all fell in love with.
No.
Not at all.
Phillips goes on to say, "I'm trying to sober him up in time for the press conference." The press conference was 90 minutes late. Because they couldn't get Michael Jackson to act sober enough to go out and make the announcement.
It's unbelievable.
Well, we wanted to find out more about the story because obviously new information is coming out all the time on Michael Jackson. So we're firing up the hotline to heaven. See if we can get a hold of our guy up there. Hello, Michael. There he is.
Woo! Get out! Woo!
How you feeling today, Mikey?
I'm feeling good. How do you feel? No.
What's happening?
What's happening? What is happening with you?
Well, we got a bunch of emails. We were talking about the story of you just before you went out and made the announcement about these concerts, and they said you were a little drunk.
That's ridiculous.
Michael, we've talked to you a dozen times in heaven since you died, and we've never talked to you drunk before. What's going on today?
I guess you didn't talk to me at the right time then, did you?
That's probably true.
Oh, this is going to be ugly.
Ooh, I have Jesus juice. Yes, from the real Jesus. He makes it. It's like a punch that he makes in this house.
And get it straight from the source, huh?
Straight from Jesus himself.
Wow. Yeah.
So, are these emails?
Are you drinking now?
I am drinking now.
Oh, okay. Well,
we'll
just keep you for 1 second here. Mm-hmm. Are these emails accurate that you would be curled up in a ball on the floor of your hotel room and refusing to come out?
I didn't curl up in a ball. It was more like a U.
A U.
I was curled up in a U.
Okay, but you were curled up on the floor.
Oh, yeah. It was in the ball.
Okay.
It's ridiculous. They can't make a ball. Out of
it wasn't a ball. It wasn't a ball. It was a U.
It's not a cartoon.
Okay.
And they can bounce.
But were they. But was the press conference 90 minutes late because you were too scared and drunk to come out?
I don't know how late the press conference was.
What?
I don't know how late the press conference was.
Okay.
All right. I was too drunk to read my watch.
I see. Yeah. When you got up on the podium.
What?
What's wrong, Mikey?
Jesus juice.
Oh, it's all right. Just for a minute. We're just
no,
going to be.
No, it's okay.
No, don't feel like you need to
drink
PBR. More.
I don't need Jesus juice.
You have PBR?
Yeah.
In heaven?
In heaven? When you had that press conference where you talked about the 50 concerts, or maybe it was 10 at the time you first announced it, did you honestly believe that those concerts were ever going to happen?
I did.
You thought you were going to be well enough to perform those shows?
I thought I would be well enough
to perform those shows. What's happening here?
Michael.
Hey, you want to see something?
Yeah.
It's in my pants. You want to see it?
No,
actually, we don't.
This is my penis.
Okay. Listen, can you?
This is it.
What do you mean by that?
This is it.
When I say this is my penis, I mean this is it.
This is your penis, right?
This is
you
it.
Should go
this
lay down.
This is really
can you,
it. This
can
is
you
it.
Sleep? Can this you go sleep it. In heaven? All right, that's it. I understand. It's it.
Someone call Dr. Conrad Murray. I need to take a nap.
he's otherwise.
I don't need propofol. I have PBR.
PBR. Wow, you went through that last can pretty fast there,
Mikey. I was a tall boy too.
Well, all right, we gotta go sober up. We'll talk to you again, okay?
This is it.
All right.
This is it.
That's it.
This is it.
We can't see it, but
right
I'm
here.
Glad.
This is it.
There's a crazy person in the studio with us.
I will not have you refer to Bridget as a crazy
Bridget
person.
Is crazy.
I believe everything she tells us about being abducted by aliens. Hi, Bridget. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good to see you. We have a full program still ahead, an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up. We're going to be talking to you if you are a phone sex operator
blah,
or have
blah,
been.
Blah, blah.
And Andrew Siciliano previews the NFL season that kicks off at 5:30 this afternoon. Bridget was abducted by aliens not once, not twice, but many, many times, starting when you were 3 years old. Right, Bridget?
Yes, sir.
You told us that story. We found your video on YouTube, and then we had you on the air on the phone the other day, and we invited you to come on in so we could ask an alien abductee.
You got to go on a trip on board an alien ship. You said you got probed a bit. You have a hybrid baby.
Alien stolen ETs and you're growing. Our minds that you're blowing.
Where's your half alien, baby?
Hey, we just met you and you seem crazy. But we're gonna ask an alien abductee, baby. Bean's in love with you and you are sexy.
Before you judge that, try and make your own song for Ask an Alien Abductee.
I'm blushing.
We're going to be taking your telephone calls if you've always wanted to speak with someone who's been on an alien spaceship and has been probed and possibly impregnated by aliens. You can call now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's do a little background for people who maybe haven't heard you on the show before, Bridget. You started when you were 3 years old. Was the first time you were taken up?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the purpose of them taking you up into the spaceships to do what?
To gather our eggs and sperm and to teach us about possible futures that we don't want.
But don't you not have any of that when you're three?
Yes, they kind of let you just play with kids when you're three.
Oh, I see. So it's just daycare.
They let you be eight.
It's first. Alien daycare.
Yeah.
This might be a delicate question, but do you feel it at all when they're harvesting things from your body or impregnating you? Is that something you can actually experience, or are you in like some sort of a daze or coma?
This question came up actually on your Facebook page, and I would say that I could feel it, and I think that's because I was supposed to remember some of my experience and feeling it, and other people are in kind of a daze and might not even feel it.
Why are some people supposed to remember and others not?
They remember in their own way. So some people remember physically, like if they can feel their abduction, and then some people will just remember the big eyes and the fear.
Is it possible that you're 100% crazy?
Possibly.
Okay, all right, good. I got possibly, a possible
yeah,
out of that.
Yeah.
All right.
If you'd like to think that.
But you believe with all your heart that you really have been abducted multiple times, right?
Yes.
And your whole family has gone, right?
Yes.
Is it something you guys talk to each other about and compare experiences?
Yes. My dad posted his videos.
Can you – we're going to need the link to that. Can you imagine Thanksgiving or Christmas at their house? Oh, my God.
It is a bit different.
Do you think that you possibly are a hybrid child yourself?
Yes.
Are you?
New spin. No, I actually do think I am. Because if my parents were getting abducted, I mean, they could have easily manipulated DNA into my mom.
Have you ever been tested for that? Have you ever had them look at your cells under a microscope to see if you're all human?
DNA testing for aliens. I don't know if that would come up.
Hey, don't be such a smart aleck. We don't know.
No, I don't know.
Well, why wouldn't you test something like that? Why wouldn't you go to a doctor and say, hey, will you run a test and see if I'm all human or part alien?
I totally would. I don't know the doctor's test for that.
Yeah,
but
I don't think they've developed that yet.
Right.
And then they'd lock her up. Well, so there's that.
And give me drugs or something.
I think that if they tested him, it would be just to find something that they don't know about.
Some chromosome
or something.
I don't
know what this is. And then
right.
Well, maybe that's.
Yeah.
All right, Bridget, do you think you have had hybrid children?
Yeah, or like physically out of my room.
Yeah.
They usually
where else do they come out?
Hey, they're aliens. Who knows?
They usually develop in the test tubes.
Oh, I see.
So they'll keep them in the womb for like maybe a month or maybe two.
Do
some
you remember any of that?
Yeah.
You remember having an alien baby in your womb?
I remember being on Earth and being like, "Why am I impregnated yet I'm a virgin?" So I think that was a little bit confusing.
When they abduct you, how long are you gone for?
It can be a different amount of time. I mean, sometimes people are up there for like 1 month or three, but in our terms, it might be just like 10, 15 minutes.
He's been gone for a long time.
So you never have disappeared for a couple of days?
No. But some people, there have been reports of people that happening, but
a couple
not
days.
Me.
But to you, it's like a second or two.
Yeah.
Tell me what you remember from your times on the alien spacecraft about the technology that they possess.
The technology's insane. I mean, the spacecraft, when I remembered it, the small one outside of my house going up to the, like, mothership, it was just, like, blink of an eye up there.
They have a transfer ship?
Yeah.
Like a cabs, an alien cab that'll take you up to their ship?
System. Yep. Okay. Yellow cabs, yellow spaceships.
Okay.
And up there, I mean, their technology is, like, beyond even just, I guess, like, metal and stuff. It's their energy, their consciousness actually runs the ships and everything that they do. And everything's telepathic, and they move through walls, and they float, and they disappear. So their technology is kind of beyond, you know, flying.
So they do everything with their minds, basically. Including, if I recall from our phone conversation the other day, including communicate with you telepathically in a language that you understand.
Yep.
Did you ever ask them, hey, can you teach me to fly?
Yeah, well, I was. I mean, that we do up there.
No, but I mean down here.
Oh, down here?
Yeah.
We can. That's the thing.
You can.
We could, you know.
You could or you can?
I can't right now.
Well, you're further along this scale than I am because I've never been taken. So,
have you met other people while you were on the spaceship who have been abducted as well? I mean,
yeah.
Do you guys hang out? And can you find them here on Earth?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the time, it's usually your neighbor or, like, your friend. Like, you don't necessarily go up with complete strangers. It's kind of, you know, all in the same proximity, so.
Wow. Well, look, we're just scratching the surface here with Bridget. By the way, you can go to hybridchildrencommunity.com. Is that the best site to see some of these videos that we're talking about, Bridget?
Yes. And my dad's right there.
Okay, hybridchildrencommunity.com, or if you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We already have some great calls on the line from Kevin, Tetsu, David, a few others. You can call 1-800-520-1067. If you want to ask an alien abductee, your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is this Stephen Jenkins? Third Eye Blind?
No, I'm
saying. All right. Just asking. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:41.
See, you never even wanted to be abducted by aliens, Kevin, until we played that Third Eye Blind song again, right? Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Bridget Nielsen is our guest here. You can go to hybridchildrencommunity.com if you want to see some of her videos. Bridget is a very successful artist, by the way. Actually went to college. Seems like a regular smart person until you start talking about the abduction and the spaceships and the aliens and the hybrid children and the impregnation. And then she gets all weird, and that's when we fall deeply in love. So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Yeah, it's Ask an Alien Abductee.
You got to go on a trip on board an alien ship. You said you got probed a bit. You have a hybrid baby.
Alien stolen ETs and you're growing. Our minds that you're blowing.
Where's your half alien baby?
Hey, we just met you and you seem crazy. But we're gonna ask an alien abductee baby.
For effort, zero for style, zero for star quality.
Oh, stop it.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
We like
Simon.
It. Let's start with Tetsu. He's on line two. We'll get to as many calls as we have. Naturally, the phone lines are booked because why wouldn't they be if you have a chance to ask an alien abductee? Tetsu, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's your question for Bridget?
how do you tell people that you've been? How do you tell people that you date that you've been abducted?
Oh, I just tell them.
You tell them right up front?
Oh yeah,
right up front.
Well, I mean, it's not the first thing. Like, hi, I'm Bridget. I've been abducted.
Right,
but if
I were to date you for one night, I would find this out early.
Probably.
All right,
it's a good elimination tool.
Elimination tool.
Has it scared anyone away, Bridget?
Date hybrid children.
What?
Ooh, good question. Can you only date hybrid children?
Is an alien implant in you that you can only date hybrid children?
I would like to date fellow hybrid children that are more like me, but it doesn't scare men away. I mean, it's like more
wouldn't
of an
scare
interest.
Me away.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for the call, Tezu. Let's go to Rick now. He's on line 5 at 1-800-520-1067. Rick, hi, you're on with Bridget. Go ahead.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Bridget.
Hi.
I just wanted to see if you've ever been to their home planet.
I don't remember. Oh. I mean, I think I've been on their mothership, but not their home planet.
See, they don't want to take you home to mom yet.
No, not quite.
Is it always the same spaceship, or have you been on a variety of crafts throughout the years?
The same one that I remember, but I may have been on other ones.
How many times have you been abducted? Do you have any idea?
A lot.
I know, but 10?
10.
100?
More than 10. Probably 100. I don't know, 50 times. A lot of times.
Would you agree to whatever number Kevin threw out?
If he said 72, would you?
Yes, 72.
As long as Bean backs you up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go to Cabo. Cabo is, I'd like to go to Cabo, actually, but let's go to Cabo on line 7. He's got a great question, I think, because my theory has always been that most people who describe their alien abductions are really describing things they've seen in movies, and I'm wondering if that's true. Cabo, what do you got for us?
Well, my question is for her is, which movie comes closest to what she's seen on the mothership and the aliens itself?
The aliens themselves? I mean, they usually overdo it a bit. It's not just like the small little guys with the round heads and big eyes. They kind of make them more, like, evil and big, and so I can't think of any
chance. So they're shorter?
They're short. They're little guys.
They're little midgets.
Yeah.
The aliens are midgets. We can kick their asses. Let's go.
But let's go back to Cabo's question and kind of hold you. If you could come up with it, I'm sure you're fascinated with alien movies, too, because of your experience. Which one is the closest in terms of, say, how they look? Like, for instance, is E.T.? Is that pretty accurate?
E.T. is pretty accurate. I'll give you E.T. Yeah. But you have to understand, they're less, like, physical. So they're not just, like, really tangible. They kind of, like, glow and they can disappear. So they're not as real
So they're sort of spirit-like rather than having a body like yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you, Cabo. Let's go to Christina. Christina is on line 8. Ask an alien abductee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I have heard from a very reliable military source that there are good and evil alien species. Do you think the ones you've encountered are truly good, or could they have evil intentions?
I do believe that the ones that I've encountered are good, and for positive reasons. A lot of the people that experience fear or negativity with aliens is a reflection of their own fear that they see when they look at the alien going, oh my gosh, you're exploding everything that I know in my ego. So a lot of the time it's the person's own fear.
And you mentioned us on the phone, and I think it bears repeating for people who weren't with us last week, Bridget, that you think that they do have a plan with these hybrid children, right? Like at some point they're going to unleash them on the earth to come down and live amongst us, right?
Yeah, it was very intentional. They didn't abduct millions of people just for fun.
Do you know why?
To help us, because they needed to repopulate their civilization.
Are they going
to
be smarter than us and get all good grades and stuff, and then we're going to look like a-holes?
In teleportation and things like that, they're going to get A's.
But we have
many things to give to them, because they don't know how to be fully human. So
her answer, Kevin, was in teleportation, they'll get an A. That was what she said. Like, that's a course that people take. Come on, listen up.
Don't you want to take that class?
Let's go to Nathan on line 4. He's got another excellent question for Bridget, our alien abductee. Hi, Nathan.
Good morning, alien people.
Hi.
How are you doing? I'm Bridget. Do you believe that you have been, during your probing or anything, that you've had a microchip or some type of tracking device placed on your body to watch your day-to-day interaction, your day-to-day lifestyle?
Also, they can track her and keep a hold of her?
Exactly. Right.
Yes, sir.
You do.
Most people that have alien abductions have devices that they put in and implants. And so they put in amnesiac ones so that they forget in their heads, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have them in their hips and different tracking devices so that they can monitor and find them.
So if you got on a plane right now and flew to New Zealand or something, the aliens would still be able to find you. You think you can't escape from them on Earth,
I don't think you can escape from them. They know where you are.
Right.
All of this sounds very reasonable. I am convinced. I gotta be honest. It all makes. I was a little sketchy when you first sat down, but it's all coming together for me now. I think I'm with you. Sadly, we're almost out of time. Hybridchildrencommunity.com is where people can go to see more videos, and you do interact with people online there if people want to ask you additional questions that they didn't have time to get through, right?
Absolutely. We have a Facebook page, and so everyone can ask questions there.
And your do dad's the aliens videos use up there as well?
Yeah.
Do the aliens use Facebook, by the way?
I don't know at this time.
Mm. Okay. You could ask him next time you're up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll get back
how long
to you.
How long has it been since you've been up in the ship?
These are the Zeta Reticuli, the Grays.
And of course,
so
obviously.
Most of the I don't think I'm interacting with them as much anymore. I'm working with other civilizations.
But, I mean, how long has it been since you've been abducted? Has it been a year, 5 years?
It's probably been more than a year.
What other civilizations are you working with?
Pleiades, Sirius. Sure, there's sure. different star systems sure. that I'm working with, Esasani.
Uh-huh.
Would you be sad if you never got abducted again? Would you miss it?
I'm okay with not getting abducted. I don't want to lose my interaction with the other planets because really like them. Thank you.
Because you want to be on the right side of the alien invasion. When they show up, you want to be able to go, hey, guys, remember me. I'm one of you.
Exactly. Allies.
All right.
Yep.
All right, quickly. I know we're out of time, Bean, but just what kind of music do the aliens listen to? That's what Kevin wants to know. Any answer to that?
Do they listen to you? Music?
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
Listen to music? I think they just listen to K-Rock.
Do you think the government will track you down? Yes. Well, your experience has always been positive?
Yes. The government, that's over.
Do you feel safe with them?
Yes.
Why do you think you're the chosen one?
I'm not a chosen one. Well, everyone is chosen.
Hmm. All right. I have no more questions.
Bridget, you're the best. Please keep in touch.
Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, if you do get taken up again, though, let us know.
I'll report back.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Famous K-Rock at 7:54.
It's an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up for you right after 8 o'clock. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Heard you guys talking to Michael Jackson earlier.
Yeah.
Sounds like he's in rough shape.
Sounds like he's in great shape.
Catherine Jackson, grandma to Michael's kids, has put her foot down.
On what?
On who her granddaughter Paris socializes with. Apparently, Paris Jackson, or as Bean would say, Paris, has made friends with Miley Cyrus.
Oh, that can't be good.
No, that's what Catherine says. And she does not want Paris socializing with Miley because of her partying and wild behavior. That's right. Miley Cyrus is too crazy for the Jacksons. That family said, yeah, we're insane, but that Miley Cyrus scares us. So you can't hang with her.
Remember when her father was alive, Paris Jackson and all of her other little brothers and sisters were practically prisoners. They had to wear masks, and they were never let out of the house.
Every day was Halloween at the Jackson house.
Right. And now that he's gone, they're just out in the wild, just doing whatever they want, showing up everywhere, doing everything.
They're not out in the wild.
They kind of are.
They're not swinging from trees on vines.
No, but you know what I mean.
Foraging through our dumpsters looking for food.
Right. But what I'm saying is now you see them walking around the grove. I mean, I'm just saying they're not captives anymore like they were for all those years when Daddy was alive.
So you're saying it's a good thing that their father dies.
I'm saying it's just weird what a difference their life has been since their father passed. That's all.
Well, you know what happens when Dad passes away? You end up hanging out with the likes of Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Hmm. It's bad news.
It's way bad. Sad news about Michael Clark Duncan, who passed away at the age of 54 due to cardiac arrest. When he first had his heart attack this past July, he had already made plans with his girlfriend, Omarosa, from the Donald Trump Apprentice series, to get engaged. They were engaged and working on their wedding plans when he passed away, so that adds even more sorrow to that story. And by the way, Bean, thank you so much for that photograph. Bean did send me the screen cap of the news in New York reporting on Michael Clark Duncan's death.
Right.
With the Chiron over the shoulder of the lovely young anchor woman that says Michael Clark Duncan and the day of his birth and his death, with a picture of Terry Crews, actor Terry Crews.
We still don't know if it's real. Insane. It could be photoshopped, but who knows? If it's real, it's hilarious.
It's remarkable. I so hope it's real.
Wrong person.
Nick Nolte in the news.
Yes.
He was seen this weekend with his 5-year-old daughter, Sophie, at the Malibu Kiwanis Chili Cook-Off. Just showed up with his daughter, Sophie, who's 5. Nick Nolte's 71 years old, by the way.
Wow.
Took his 5-year-old daughter to the chili cook-off because, listen, 5-year-olds love chili cook-offs. No, apparently it was quite the carnival. There were bumper cars. Apparently Nick Nolte and his daughter were bumper car riding. And can you imagine getting hit by Nick Nolte in a
Who
bumper car?
Who took Nick Nolte, though, to this thing? Why'd you learn how to drive, you punk?
And they were playing those games, you know, the Carnival Ride Sideshow games.
Sure.
And Dad won her a huge teddy bear holding a sign saying, I love you. That's what he won for his daughter. And then he pooped himself and fell asleep.
He's the weirdest.
I love you, baby. Listen, you're not my daughter. You're not my friend, right, convict?
Went off, started doing 48 hours. It was very strange.
Wasn't he the guy, Ralph, a few years ago that we saw in 60 Minutes who injects himself with, like,
yes, every day.
20 shots every day?
Hundreds of vitamin tablets, supplements, amino acids, and also injects himself with various substances.
And who looks worse?
And who looks worse?
Exactly.
Nobody. It ain't working. I do smoke 3 packs a day, however.
While we're talking about 48 Hours and Nick Nolte, his co-star Eddie Murphy is back in the news. He has sold a TV series to CBS. It is based on Beverly Hills Cop. He will return to the role of Axel Foley, who's now the chief of police in Detroit. But the show's about Axel's son, Aaron Foley, who is a cop struggling to make it in Beverly Hills, hence the Beverly Hills Cop. CBS will be airing the series. No word yet on who's lined up to play Aaron Foley. Listen, I get it if you're going to reboot a series and you have like William Shatner, okay, coming back as Kirk, and you have to have a young new crew take over. But Eddie Murphy's not that old. He could certainly still play a cop. He could still play Axel Foley.
Sure. I mean, he wants to work that much, though.
I think that maybe that's what it is. But I would watch a Beverly Hills Cop TV series if it was Axel Foley, if it was him. But I don't want to see Kevin Hart or something running around in Beverly Hills, you know. Yeah. Just saying, trying to sell me rental wheels or whatever he does. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bob Newhart. What a class act. What a legend.
He's the best. He's the best.
So funny. So talented. Had two of the great sitcoms ever on television. What a career. 83 years old.
Movies, too. He's an elf. He's been in a bunch of things. He's always great.
You know, he's best friends with Don Rickles, and apparently they still vacation together.
Oh,
I would
man.
Pay a year's salary just to go on vacation with Bob Newhart and Don Rickles. Whatever they're doing, I just want to be the third guy. Just sit back and just watch. Raquel Welch, 72 years old today. Michael Keaton. I'm Batman. He's 61 years old. Drummer Brad Wilk from Rage and Audioslave is 44. Dweezil Zappa is 43. Rose McGowan is 39. The bitch. And actress Kat Graham from The Vampire Diaries, 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
We are going to want to be talking to ladies in about 50 minutes or so who work or have worked in the phone sex business. Kind of talking about it last week. A new movie opened up called For a Good Time Call.
Girls besides Lisa.
Why? Why?
Yes.
You don't want mine?
Well, yours too.
Okay.
In addition to.
Okay.
How can you make that much money working from home? I mean, what's more convenient? What makes more sense than that job for somebody if you got the right temperament for it, right? So we're going to be taking your calls coming up in just a few minutes here at 1-800-520-1067. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network in the 9 o'clock hour talking about the NFL season that kicks off tonight. And right now, a brand new Beans Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Beans Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
So much sweet, glorious death in the news lately. It's really been a banner couple of months here on the old Death Corner. I'm only sad to disappoint you guys that I have not yet been included in the feature, but
that's
soon enough,
to be
I'm
the
sure.
day, man, when I can take over Beans Death Corner with only one death.
Well, I will look forward to it. I will consider that an honor, Kevin. Thank you very much. And we start in Berlin. I'm surprised we don't see more javelin injuries, because when you think about it, you got young people throwing a pointy stick at a big crowd. A lot of things can go wrong. A German sports official died this week. It happened on Monday, in fact, after being struck in the throat by a javelin.
Oh man.
God.
He's 74 years old. He was an official at the meet. He was officiating a youth meet in the western city of Dusseldorf when the incident happened. A 15-year-old had thrown the javelin. It went right through the guy's throat and killed him on the spot. The young athlete is now receiving psychological counseling. They have opened up an investigation into the death, but indications are that it was just an accident. It's just one of those things. I mean, just like when you watch golf on TV and occasionally you'll see a guy get beamed by a golf ball coming off the course. I mean, it's just what happens when you stand around things that are going through the air. But nobody expects to show up for work and get killed by a javelin,
well,
right?
No, but if you're working with a javelin, keep an eye on it.
Don't they stand back a little? I mean, would the kid hook it or what?
Who knows? I don't know. Unfortunately, there's not a wacky YouTube video to go along with this, at
the
least.
Kid but chasing him around the track with the javelin.
I'm going to get you.
Unfortunately, he is dead. Here's a very sad story. Perhaps you caught it on the news from Fort Lee, New Jersey. Here's a double-decker bus with 65 teenagers on their way in New Jersey for a Sweet 16 party. One of them, a 16-year-old boy, decided that he was going to be wacky and open up the top of the bus. You know how they have those windows on the top of the bus so you can stand up and stick your head out?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, when you're in downtown New York and you're in Queens and you're going over the George Washington Bridge and there are low-hanging rafters, your head's going to hit that, and that's going to be the end of that. That is not the way you want your Sweet 16 party to go, but yeah.
That's a terrible party when he falls back down in the bus.
Yes, it is. That is extreme, without a head. Yes. Extreme trauma. Here's a 21-year-old also celebrating his birthday. He's in Industry, Maine. He fell to his death on Saturday night when, for some reason, to celebrate his 21st birthday, he decided he was going to climb a tree. He's 21, which means he probably went out and got pretty faced before he started climbing the tree. He fell about 60 feet from the tree, by the
way. Wow.
Death was deemed an accident. The police say they cannot say whether alcohol was or was not involved.
Oh,
I don't imagine any 21-year-old is saying, hey, check me out, it's my birthday, I'm going to climb this tree, unless there's a lot of drinking going on,
yeah.
Right? But that's a bad way to become legal. That's not how you want to start your long life of drinking alcohol, right?
First and last official drink.
Yeah.
We've been doing the Death Corner for a number of years here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I can honestly say this is the first time I have seen a story like this. This is the mayor of Hollywood Park, Texas, Bill Balke, was killed by his own donkey in an apparent attack last week.
His donkey attacked him?
His donkey
hated him.
Look, I'm a guy who had a donkey for 18 years. I know something about donkeys, and I know that you don't walk behind them because they do tend to kick up if something, you know, something gets in their peripheral vision or something like that, or if they're mad at you or something like that. You do have to be very careful. I mean, I don't know if you know what the force is like of getting kicked by a donkey or a horse, but it can kill you. I mean, it's unbelievable. Authorities say we'll never know what triggered it, but it was evident that this particular donkey was involved based on the evidence of the scene and what we saw on the donkey. They have not released details whether he was trampled or kicked. The donkey, by the way, is still staying with the family at the ranch. It's up to them to decide what to do with him. I don't know. I mean, I hope they don't put the donkey down just because you kill one guy, right?
Well, maybe he's a person killer now. It's like, you know, a bear gets one person.
Once you get a taste, a whiff of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe so. It's just, again,
plus,
just
donkeys
like,
are dicks. I mean, not for a play on words of jackass, but really, they're dicks. They're angry, mean animals.
They can be. I agree. They definitely have that streak in it. It's just weird, though. Just on the heels of this javelin story, you just never hear about somebody getting killed by a donkey. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? Here's a bizarre story on the Death Corner here on K-Rock. For those who enjoy the Storage Wars show, a Pensacola storage auction went up last week. For $900, somebody bought the contents to a container. You know how they do, right?
Yep.
Well, police say that body parts belonging to more than 100 people were found stored in formaldehyde inside the unit. Plastic containers, specimen cups, trash bags, even in a 32-ounce styrofoam cup from a convenience store. Some of the containers had cracked and leaked. It turned out, by the way, that the unit had been rented by Michael Berkland, a former associate medical examiner. They're trying to figure out if any crime was committed, but apparently he was involved in pathology and autopsies and was taking parts home.
What?
And keeping them in a storage facility.
Can you work at home if you're doing autopsies?
The man is no longer licensed in Florida. He was also at one point a private pathologist. In other words, families would sometimes contact him for second opinions about autopsy decisions that had been rendered. He was one of these medical experts that goes to trials and speaks out. The storage unit also contained office furniture and other property. He had had this storage facility since 1997, by the way, and on two other occasions had gotten down to the last day where the contents were going to be auctioned, and then he showed up to pay the bill. This time he didn't, and that's how he was discovered. How crazy is that story?
The dude that bought it is like, I don't want that. No, you bought it, sir. You have to. We're going to load it in your truck right now.
And you have to dispose of it all.
Right. Yeah. That is literally the last thing you ever want to find in a storage container is 100 people's body parts.
Yeah.
And finally, Lisa May, you know about this. You probably read the girl magazines, but there's something called a trash the dress photograph that you take. Are you familiar with this at all?
No.
People who get married, sometimes after the wedding, they do a photo series where they go out and they figure they're never going to wear the wedding dress again, so they trash it. They usually do some harm to it because they're trying to show, hey, I'm not going to need this anymore. Hey, I finally found my person. Hey, I'm happy, right?
That's so naive that they think they're not going to use it again.
Yes, it certainly is. Well, this is the story of a realtor in Quebec, Canada. Her name is Maria Pantazopoulos. She was 30 years old, and she decided she was going to do one of these trash the dresses in a nearby river. She was dipping her toes into the water to pose, but the wedding dress, as you can imagine, that weighed over 100 pounds, became very heavy when wet and pulled her in. Then the current took her to the bottom of the 8-foot section of the lake.
Oh my. Wait, go back. Like, her dress weighed 100 pounds?
And by the way, so did she. So now she's weighing 200 pounds. And you know what happens even in regular clothes when you get in the water is all of a sudden it feels super heavy, right? The photographer put down his equipment and tried to save her. He grabbed her with his hands. Another witness nearby jumped in and tried to help, but they could not save her. The trash the dress is supposed to be a joyous celebration of having found a partner for life. It's not the way it worked out this time. I jumped in. I was screaming. I was yelling. We all tried our best, said the photographer. And she is dead in Rockin, Quebec. About 5 days after her wedding, by the way, wearing her wedding dress for the last time.
Didn't hear anything about the groom jumping in.
Where was the groom? That's a good point.
I don't know if he was
underwater pulling her down.
It's very possible that you have uncovered something we didn't know on this all-new Beans Death Corner.
That was Beans Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I'm with Ralph. I can't wait for tomorrow's show.
Screw today.
Yeah.
A few both.
A lot of good stuff coming up today, but wait to hear what we got for you tomorrow. All right. Ralph, I'm glad you're sitting in.
Me too. Friday,
you told us about a new film, a smaller movie called For a Good Time Call.
Yes.
That was written by a woman named Katie Ann Nalen, and she based the film and its plot line on an experience that she had in real life, which was making money, making a living as a phone sex operator, right?
Yes, yes.
Which is an honorable cause.
It's an honorable cause and a wonderful profession, a noble profession. But it has been on the wane since the internet porn boom. Less and less phone sex operators are being able to make a living.
That's a shame.
You used to be able to make
a real
ton of cash.
Well, what do you mean by a ton? How much could you make?
I knew a girl who was making $40,000 to $50,000 a year.
Really?
Yeah, which isn't
But if you're sitting at home waiting for the phone to ring, you can
enormous amount of money. But yeah, like you said, if you're going to work from your house on your own schedule and you make your own hours, there's a lot of money to be had. If you're good at it, especially, and you can keep a guy on the line for a long time, you can make a lot of cash.
And this would be perfect, of course, for somebody who's got kids at home or something like that. Don't want to leave them. You can still look after them while you do your job.
That's a little weird.
Yeah, yeah, like breastfeeding while you're talking to that guy on the phone.
Creepy.
I bet there are a lot of people who have gotten into this who have just – they look around and they go, it's legal and it's safe and I'm not going to make anywhere near this kind of money doing anything else, you know, from my house.
And a lot of girls I knew who did it were actresses.
Oh.
And that's really what it is, pretty much.
Acting
on the phone, you know, providing people. You need a good imagination to be able to provide people their fantasies. But there was money to be made. Like I said, back in the glory days, back in the burgeoning when the 900 numbers first hit, that was the big day. And then they went to 800 numbers with credit cards. They would take your credit card, so it wasn't a per minute charge on your phone call. You have to pay through your credit card.
Right.
And but like I said, I mean, it's still out there. There's guys who just that's their thing. They like to hear a woman's voice, and that's how their fantasies work. They're not so much into the visual. And so there's still
which is good with most of these women.
There's a steady
that is the other thing. It doesn't matter what you look like. You just got to sound hot.
There's a steady clientele, but it isn't what it once was.
Katie Ann Nalen, who we mentioned, who wrote this film and stars in the movie, by the way, she says that when she was doing phone sex, she was a virgin and had to Google stuff to find out what they were, what the hell they were talking about. That's literally funny. She was down in front of the computer Googling what is S&M and things like that as she had guys on the line.
She was awful.
She didn't know anything.
She was awful at it then.
Do I know about the rusty trombone? Just a second.
Rusty with a Y or an IE?
We're going to take your calls, ladies, and find out what it was like. Find out what your experiences were like doing phone sex for a living. Well, even if it was a long time ago, even if it was just part-time, we want to find out how you liked it and what it was like at 1-800-520-1067. It's been a long time since we've done this topic. I think we've got a clip from the film, too, that we're talking about called For a Good Time Call.
Help me make this a business, and I'll pay $100 of your rent until you get another job.
No. Okay, forever? I have an interview tomorrow at Laxton Press. It is the second best publishing house in the world. It is my dream job, and I'm perfect for it.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, you go get your fancy pants boring job, and I'll just be here being exciting. Fine.
You know, you're not better than me. You're not better than phone sex.
I'm better than phone sex.
Or not.
So, Ralph, when you used to call the phone sex
What lines, the? How dare you?
Come on. Like, we don't all know this is where this is coming from. You just basically, you're going to pretend that you're, what, know this person, have a relationship with this person? I mean, you both are playing a role, really, right?
You can get anything you want. That's the beauty of phone sex. You can create any scenario, any fantasy you've ever had can be enacted with the operator on the other side.
If they've got, if they're an actress, if they can actually have an imagination.
They'll often start the conversation with what do you get into, whatever, and then you just, you launch into it. So you can create anything. It could be your wife, it could be your girlfriend, it could be your cousin, it could be a stranger.
Could you imagine Bean trying to talk to
phone sex operator? I want you to work at the post office. I'm here to pick up a parcel.
You have mail for me.
Oh, but it's, oh, I have to sign for it.
You're behind the counter of 7-Eleven.
Give me a big gulp.
I want a Slurpee.
Oh,
you know what I mean.
Why is this all of a sudden about me? All right,
creepy.
We want to.
A friend of mine used to.
Sure, a friend.
To use a service that linked up not amateurs, but women who enjoyed doing it for their own pleasure and guys that did it for their own pleasure.
Oh.
And you would meet and match through the phone service that way.
I see. So it wasn't them making a living that way.
In some ways, it would be more exciting for my friend because it was.
Your friend liked it more?
It was someone who was doing it. You knew that person was also enjoying themselves and you were enjoying yourself. So it's more of a mutual thing versus someone who's just doing it for the money. So there were,
hey, they
there
all
were,
love me. I mean, my friend.
There were other services like that that were available for women who just enjoy doing it. Now, if you're a woman who enjoys doing it, you could, you know, and you're making money.
Clean up.
It's the perfect, perfect job.
All right. We have to take a break. Jennifer, I promise you, we're going to you first. We will talk to you. Do not go away. Love that her name is Jennifer,
she's
too, because as we've learned from this program, all Jennifers are hot.
That's right.
So please hang on. We're going to talk to you, and we'll take your calls, too. You were a phone sex operator. We want to hear about it. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
I told you the story once about my phone sex experience, didn't I?
I don't remember.
This was before I was married, in case my wife's listening. No, it was.
Or it was Tuesday.
And it was shortly after I'd started the show here, and I called into a line that apparently was Los Angeles-based, and you need your credit card information.
Right.
So they take your number, and they need your name and your verification code and all that stuff. And so I gave it to her, and just before she connected me, she said, by the way, I love the show. I listen to it.
Oh, my God.
And that ruined it, right?
And I said,
did you hang up?
I said, you know what? I'll call back. This is inopportune. I said, now I am labeled the creepy guy. Which at the time I was doing sex, you and everything else. I really had nothing to hide.
You were the creepy guy.
I was the creepy guy. There was nothing about me that wasn't sort of out in the open anyway. So in retrospect, I probably didn't really need to be concerned because it would be of no surprise to anyone if it ever got out
that
I was calling a phone sex line. But at the same time, it sort of took the edge off of it.
Well,
just kinda,
I would think anonymous would need to be part of it.
And you don't even necessarily want to be yourself when you're calling those lines. You can be whoever you want. You know, you could be a lumberjack and you're going into town for provisions and she's working at the general store or whatever's coming up, you know, and so I don't necessarily want to be.
Well, nobody wants to be Ralph Garman.
You know, who wants to be the radio guy? Who wants to be a DJ?
By the way, I like your show.
Yeah, listen every morning.
Talking about phone sex operators because of this new film called For a Good Time Call. Let's get to Jennifer. She's on line one and then we'll get to you too at 1-800-520-1067. Jennifer, thank you for calling and holding on. How long did you work as a phone sex operator?
It was only for a few months, probably about 6 months.
6 months, all right.
And did you make big cash doing it?
You know what? It wasn't a ton of money. It was like $10 an hour plus bonuses. So it was pretty good. I'd say it probably averaged about $15 an hour. But were for you, a young kid, like, that's good money.
Yeah, that's pretty good money.
Yeah, when you're 18 or whatever you were at the time, I guess, that's better than, you know, it's way better than minimum wage at a, you know, fast food or something. Did you work at home, or did you have to drive into some place to do the job?
No, it was actually at a place. It was a call center. So it was like an official looking like job. You would go in with your badge and work with a bunch of other girls in like cubicles.
Really? So you had your own cubicle? And then
a little less intimate.
Yeah.
Right.
And that must be so weird. I mean, can you hear the other girls around you, or is it pretty private, each person?
Oh, no, you can definitely hear them. So when you're not on a call, you're kind of like listening to everyone else's calls and, you know, writing little notes and making jokes.
Yeah.
Just probably pick up some good
tips.
Did
a guy ever say, hey, I'd like to talk to that girl in the background? She sounds good.
Hey, give me her instead. Yeah, here's the thing. You say $10, $15 an hour, it sounds good, but an hour's worth of talking to one of these people. Yeah, that's a lot of time and energy put into it. Did you get burnt out?
Oh yeah, definitely. You're definitely like constantly with a sore throat. You're so exhausted from talking all night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How about that? Interesting. All right, we got a bunch of other calls to get to, Jennifer. Thank you very much for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We appreciate it. Let's go to Serenity on line 3. Now, I don't know if this is her real name or if this is her phone sex name, but let's get right to her. Hi, Serenity.
Hi, that's my real name. My phone sex name was Cinnamon.
Really?
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Tell us about your experience. How long did you do it?
I did it for about a year.
And was it similar to the last caller where you were going into a place with cubicles?
I did it from home.
Okay.
So, you know, I picked my own hours. But you were talking about the 800 and 900 numbers.
Yeah.
And the 900 numbers are governed by the FCC.
Uh-huh.
And they listen to your calls, and so you can't use any words. You can't use...
What?
Even real words like penis or...
I thought those 900 numbers were... You could say anything.
No, 800. And so you can't tell the person on the 900 numbers...
Careful. Careful.
Yeah, be careful what you say.
We understand. You can't get graphic.
We too, are governed by the FCC.
No, you can't tell them that you can't use certain words.
Oh.
And you're real limited, and they listen to your calls, and I got in trouble for moaning too much once.
Now, are you sure that you're not just talking about your bosses, the people who were running your lines were listening in? You don't mean the government was listening in.
No, it was my bosses, but they listen in for the FCC and they rip you off.
To make sure that they were adhering to the guidelines.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true, because I know in the early day 900 numbers, there was just all recordings. You would listen to recorded messages, women talking about sex.
Oh, and that was okay.
And it was all, but it was always cleaned up in sort of euphemisms as opposed to real
language. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Serenity, why did you quit?
Why? It gets really boring.
I imagine.
I've heard women say that they get kind of burnt out on sex in general. You just get tired of talking about it all the time.
I didn't get burnt out on sex. I just got burnt out talking about it.
Yeah, Serenity now.
Promoting too much.
All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Monica, line 4. Monica, you guys, was phone sex operator for 4 years.
Wow.
To which I say, 4 more years. 4 more years. Monica, tell us about it.
It was good and bad.
Good and bad. All right. What was all good? Right. The money?
Yeah, I made really good money in my early 20s.
Okay.
And at the beginning, I was actually in the beginning with the 900 and 800 numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Got to talk to a lot of creepy politicians and actors.
Celebrities?
Politicians and actors. They would tell you who they were?
Their credit cards did.
Oh, sure. Oh, interesting. And, of course, you're not allowed to make any reference to that, right?
Right. So if a politician called in and wanted to be Joe Schmo, that's who he was.
Right.
Ralph is Joe Schmo, by the way.
How dare
he uses. That's crazy to me that a politician would risk that, though.
Oh, Bean, come on.
No, I'm saying giving out your credit card name.
You risk
number?
Anything for that experience. Guys get caught cheating and texting pictures of their penises and all kinds of things.
I guess.
The drive is more than the common sense.
What's that, Monica?
This was also like 20 years ago before the internet was out there and there was instant everything.
Yeah. So maybe a politician could get away with that a lot more then.
Yeah.
Right.
What was the downside of it?
Boring. A high turnaround of girls.
Oh, really?
Hmm.
Right, because in our particular company, we did a lot of like tag team type of phone calls,
mm-hmm.
where the man's fantasy was 2 chicks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just when you get into a rhythm with someone and you're making good money with that person, they're done.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't but it you that, would work mostly in your underwear with pillow fights and stuff, though, right? When you worked?
Us?
Yeah.
Oh, hell no.
Come on, Monica.
Go with it, for God's sake.
You're trying to get a call for free right now, Ralph. All right, let me ask you one more thing, Monica, and that is, especially 20 years ago, would you tell people that you would meet friends or people you wanted to date or whatever, that this is what you were doing for a living, or was it a big secret?
For me, I don't have any issues or problems with the fact that I was a phone whore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right.
Good.
You know, we all make a living, you know, selling what we can.
Sure.
I sold my voice.
Okay.
And, I hear you.
I'm buying. I love it.
You have to have a real high mental acuity to deal with people for 4 years at their basis.
Yeah, I hear you.
All right. And the women who are particularly good at it are really imaginative, clever, usually smart women.
Oh, yeah, we are.
All right. Thank you, Monica.
Not you. I'm talking with the other ones.
I'd like to go, I would like to go to John, though, because John used to act like a woman.
Oh.
Really?
You are a liar and a cheater, sir.
John?
Yes.
You worked as a phone sex operator and talked?
No. My girlfriend did, but I actually visited the facility.
Okay.
And, you know, I want to try and paint the right picture here because it might be a little bit different than what some of the other callers were saying. It was like late one night or something like that. I was delivering her food, and you're not supposed to know where these places are, obviously, for the creepoid factor.
Right.
Yeah. But for whatever reason, I was able to drop her off dinner. And when I walked in the door, the first cubicle I went by was an Asian guy doing a female voice. It gets better because as I rounded the corner, and I'm not even kidding you, there were three or four large African-American women with the phone in one ear, eating Doritos and playing poker at a table, and I'm not even kidding you, one of them had a peg leg.
Come on. Well, she had a peg leg.
I'm
thanks
not
for ruining phone sex
you.
For all of us. Nice job, John.
Well, I bet it was a hot peg, though, right?
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. In studio with us, coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
You know, Kanye West has his much-anticipated album, Cruel Summer, still on its way, which will be released sometime in the winter, I'm assuming. I'm kidding. It's Cruel Summer. It's over. Release it. Look, either rename it or release it during the summer. It's called Cruel Summer.
I think it's this month. I think it's coming out, you know, within the next couple of weeks.
Does he do a cover of the Bananarama song?
I don't believe so. I wouldn't be surprised if he sampled it somewhere on there, but I haven't heard that he covers it.
It's a cruel, cruel sum up. Be awesome. Another song has been leaked. This one is called Click. C-L-I-Q-U-E. See? Mm-hmm. That's why he's a genius. And everyone talking about some of the lyrics in Click. One lyric particularly, it's a little sample, we brought a little audio. This is Kanye West rapping about his girlfriend and how famous she is.
Really?
Kim Kardashian, of course.
Break records to Louis, ate breakfast at Gucci, my girl a superstar all from a home movie.
Oh, that's sweet. That is so romantic, Kanye, for you to talk about the fact that your girlfriend, porn star Kim Kardashian, is famous for her movie where she was banging Ray J.
It's very true. But why would you say that if you're a boyfriend?
I'm with Ralph. I would think that would be the last thing you'd want to think about, much less brag about.
Here's the thing. Kim Kardashian, how does she stay with this guy? First of all, the first song written about her, Perfect Bitch, that he was talking about weeks ago, where she said, I'm flattered because it's not bitch in a derogatory sense. That just means that he met so many women before, but I'm the one. And that's why I just love the song. He called you the perfect bitch. She said it was a term of endearment. That's true, because when I go home, I go, hey, bitch, what's for dinner? That's what I say to my wife. And
she says, what?
She giggles.
You say perfect bitch.
And I say, you know what? As a mom, you are a perfect bitch. I tell her that all the time. So now, what do you say to your boyfriend when he is bringing up the thing that you're always trying to downplay with your fashion line and how hard you've worked and everything else, that basically you're just known for banging a big kielbasa in a video? That's what you are in a nutshell. Your boyfriend sums you up as much.
Break records to Louis, ate breakfast at Gucci. My girl a superstar, all from my home movie.
Come on.
Bad cray.
I want to hear her response to that. Had breakfast at Gucci. Shut up. I'm so tired of the braggadocio. I'm the best, and I have more clothes and bigger and better and more. Shut up.
But he does.
He's not modest.
Oh, he's disgusting. How about a band I like? How about Coldplay?
All right.
Doing the right thing once again in the right way. They are closing out this year's Paralympic Games in London on Sunday. The ceremony is called the Festival of Flame. The band is going to play their smash hit Viva La Vida, but they will be joined in by musicians all over England who will be playing the same song at the same time at 2 p.m. local time in the U.K. So it is like a hands across the world sort of musical joining in of everyone playing that song along with Coldplay. Musicians will be playing it by themselves or with other bands all over the country as they close out the Paralympic Games.
You know how I know you're gay?
No.
You like Coldplay.
Come on, I like Coldplay. To celebrate the Paralympic Games, they're even retitling the song, Viva La...
I don't think that's true.
It is. That's what they're calling it.
I do not believe that's true.
He said it.
I don't think he said it.
The Coldplay guy said it.
He didn't.
Guy who knows Coldplay.
That's racist.
It's not. Dick Clark. Before he dicks you, I have always said. His company sold yesterday. Dick Clark Productions, which, by the way, in case you need a refresher course, provides us with New Year's Rockin' Eve, the American Music Awards, the Academy of Country Music Awards, the Golden Globe Awards. Dick Clark would just make up awards and put them on television.
He would.
He would, literally.
Meaningless.
And
I mean, I think you're right, Ralph. Wasn't the American Music Awards one that he just made up because he wanted to sell another TV show?
No, there's no American Music Federation or anything that gives out the award. He just created a TV show and gave out the award.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
So You Think You Can Dance, the Golden Globes, just a monster production company, was sold yesterday. Sold for $370 million.
Holy mackerel!
Holy mackerel,
he's
indeed.
He's excited. Even from the grave, that's a lot of money. So, congratulations, I guess, to his beautiful widow, Carrie, who he would make out with every New Year's Eve.
David Gummer, really more than
especially
make
towards
out.
The end.
Yeah.
Yeah. In honor of Dick, they are renaming the company.
Okay. That's not true either.
It is.
Mitt Romney says no.
Come on, Mitt. Mitt's no fun anymore. Russell Crowe.
He doesn't
Crow.
Seem to like anything on this show, I'll tell you that.
Who does? Russell Crowe has been tapped to play the star of the biblical film Noah. He will be playing the legendary biblical figure of the same name, about the guy who got two of every animal, put him on a boat, took him out when the floods came, and saved every animal species we now celebrate. Noah. That's going to be a movie.
I am looking forward to that movie, by the way.
That is
I love that
true.
No, I mean, I won't go, but I'm looking forward to it.
I
love Bible stories. I think Bible stories are awesome. And sometimes they make great movies.
To get more into character, it's been reported that Russell has chosen to no longer shower. He has stopped taking showers to be more realistic, because Noah didn't shower.
They can dirty you up with makeup and
stuff,
right?
But they can't get that smell, Kevin. You can't get that.
But I can't smell that smell.
But when you're
watching.
Working with other actors on the set and you say, is that the two llamas, Noah, or is that you? You can't get that. Are those the muskrats, or is it Noah? I can't tell the difference. He has that true, you got to feel it, man. You got to be there. Here's the funny thing. Noah was in 40 Days of Rain. He probably showered a lot. He was probably the cleanest guy in all of ancient times. But no, you never tell you that story, do they? Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Bob Newhart, comedian, actor, legend. The Bob Newhart Show and Newhart, two of the best sitcoms ever on television.
Agreed.
83 years old today. Legendary actress Raquel Welch celebrates her 72nd birthday. I know, Kevin, you don't like anything beyond last week. But if you ever do want to do yourself a favor, you want to see what a real woman looks like, go back and get yourself a Raquel Welch movie from like the late 60s, early 70s. Man, oh man, no. She was just ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
There's chicks now that are ridiculous.
Yeah, but she, there was something about her. There was just, you ever see Mother Jugs and Speed?
No.
Oh, that's a good one.
Sounds like something I would like, though.
Bill Cosby, Raquel Welch, and Harvey Keitel playing wacky ambulance drivers.
That does not exist.
Oh, it exists. It's spectacular. Mother Jugs and Speed. Guess one. Guess which one Raquel Welch plays.
Mother?
Nope. No. Guess again.
Speed?
Nope.
Can't remember the other one.
She's 72. Michael Keaton is 61. Brad Wilk of Rage Against the Machine fame is 44 years old. Rose McGowan is 39 years old today. She should be in Mother Jugs and Speed. She should be in a remake of that. Dweezil Zappa is 43. And Cat Grant from The Vampire Diary celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
There's a crazy person in the studio with us.
I will not have you refer to Bridget as a crazy
Bridget
person.
Crazy.
I believe everything she tells us about being abducted by aliens. Hi, Bridget. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good to see you. We have a full program still ahead, an all-new Bean's Death Corner coming up. We're going to be talking to you if you are a phone sex operator
blah,
or have
blah,
been.
Blah, blah.
And Andrew Siciliano previews the NFL season that kicks off at 5:30 this afternoon. Bridget was abducted by aliens not once, not twice, but many, many times, starting when you were 3 years old. Right, Bridget?
Yes, sir.
You told us that story. We found your video on YouTube, and then we had you on the air on the phone the other day, and we invited you to come on in so we could ask an alien abductee.
You got to go on a trip on board an alien ship. You said you got probed a bit. You have a hybrid baby.
Aliens stolen, ET's and you're growing, our minds that you're blowing.
Where's your half alien, baby?
Hey, we just met you, and you seem crazy. But we're gonna ask an alien abductee, baby. He's in love with you, and you are sexy. But we're gonna ask an alien abductee, baby. We hope you're for real, and just a spacey. Cause we're gonna ask an
before you judge that, try and make your own song for Ask an Alien Abductee.
I'm blushing.
We're going to be taking your telephone calls if you've always wanted to speak with someone who's been on an alien spaceship and has been probed and possibly impregnated by aliens. You can call now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's do a little background for people who maybe haven't heard you on the show before, Bridget. You started when you were 3 years old. Was the first time you were taken up?
Yes.
Okay, and what's the purpose of them taking you up into the spaceships to do what?
To gather our eggs and sperm and to teach us about possible futures that we don't want.
But don't you not have any of that when you're three?
Yes, they kind of let you just play with kids when you're three.
Honestly, so it's just daycare.
They let you be eight.
It's first. Alien daycare.
Yeah.
This might be a delicate question, but do you feel it at all when they're harvesting things from your body or impregnating you? Is that something you can actually experience, or are you in like some sort of a daze or coma?
This question came up actually on your Facebook page, and I would say that I could feel it, and I think that's because I was supposed to remember some of my experience and feeling it, and other people are in kind of a daze and might not even feel it.
Why are some people supposed to remember and others not?
They remember in their own way. So some people remember physically, like if they can feel their abduction, and then some people will just remember the big eyes and the fear.
Is it possible that you're 100% crazy?
Possibly.
Okay, all right, good. I got a possible out of that.
Yeah.
All right.
If you'd like to think that.
But you believe with all your heart that you really have been abducted multiple times, right?
Yes.
And your whole family has gone, right?
Yes.
Is it something you guys talk to each other about and compare experiences?
Yes. My dad posted his videos.
Can you – we're going to need the link to that. Can you imagine Thanksgiving or Christmas at their house? Oh, my God.
It is a bit different.
Do you think that you possibly are a hybrid child yourself?
Yes.
Are you?
New spin. No, I actually do think I am. Because if my parents were getting abducted, I mean, they could have easily manipulated DNA into my mom.
Have you ever been tested for that? Have you ever had them look at your cells under a microscope to see if you're all human?
DNA testing for aliens. I don't know if that would come up.
Hey, don't be such a smart aleck. We don't know.
No, I don't know.
Well, why wouldn't you test something like that? Why wouldn't you go to a doctor and say, hey, will you run a test and see if I'm all human or part alien?
I totally would. I don't know the doctor's test for that.
Yeah,
but
I don't think they've developed that yet.
Right.
And then they'd lock her up.
Well,
so there's that, too.
And give me drugs or something.
I think that if they tested him, it would be just to find something that they don't know about.
Some chromosome
go, I don't
or
know what this is. And then
right,
you go,
right, right.
Well, maybe that's...
Yeah.
All right, Bridget, do you think you have had hybrid children?
Yeah, or like physically out of my room.
Yeah.
They usually
where else do they come out?
Hey, they're aliens. Who knows?
They usually develop in the test tubes.
Oh, I see.
So they'll keep them in the womb for like maybe a month or maybe two.
Do you remember any of that?
Yeah.
You remember having an alien baby in your womb?
I remember being on Earth and being like, why am I impregnated yet I'm a virgin? So I think that was a little bit confusing.
When they abduct you, how long are you gone for?
It can be a different amount of time. I mean, sometimes people are up there for like 1 month or three, but in our terms, it might be just like 10, 15 minutes.
He's been gone for a long time. Lisa.
So you never have disappeared for a couple of days?
No. But some people, there have been reports of people that happening, but
a couple
not
days.
Me.
But to you, it's like a second or two.
Yeah.
Tell me what you remember from your times on the alien spacecraft about the technology that they possess.
The technology's insane. I mean, the spacecraft, when I remembered it, the small one outside of my house going up to the like mothership, it was just like blink of an eye up there.
They have a transfer ship?
Yeah.
Like a cabs, an alien cab that'll take you up to their ship?
System. Yep. Okay. Yellow cabs, yellow spaceships.
Okay.
And up there, I mean, their technology is like beyond even just, I guess, like metal and stuff. It's their energy, their consciousness actually runs the ships and everything that they do. And everything's telepathic and they move through walls and they float and they disappear. So their technology is kind of beyond, wow. You know. Flying,
so they do everything with their minds, basically, including, if I recall from our phone conversation the other day, including communicate with you telepathically in a language that you understand.
Yep.
Did you ever ask them, hey, can you teach me to fly?
Yeah, well, I was. I mean, that we do up there.
No, but I mean down here.
Oh, down here?
Yeah.
We can. That's the thing. We're
you
just
can.
Remember, we could, you know.
You could or
humans.
You can?
I can't right now.
Well, you're further along this scale than I am because I've never been taken. So,
have you met other people while you were on the spaceship who have been abducted as well? I mean, do you guys hang out? And can you find them here on Earth?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the time, it's usually your neighbor or like your friend. Like, you don't necessarily go up with complete strangers. It's kind of, you know, all in the same proximity. So,
wow. Well, look, we're just scratching the surface here with Bridget. By the way, you can go to hybridchildrencommunity.com. Is that the best site to see some of these videos that we're talking about, Bridget?
Yes. And my dad's right there.
Okay, hybridchildrencommunity.com. Or if you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We already have some great calls on the line from Kevin, Tetsu, David, a few others. You can call 1-800-520-1067. If you want to ask an alien abductee, your call is coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is this Stephen Jenkins? Third Eye Blind?
No, I'm saying.
All right. Just asking. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:41.
See, you never even wanted to be abducted by aliens, Kevin, until we played that Third Eye Blind song again, right? Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday. Bridget Nielsen is our guest here. You can go to hybridchildrencommunity.com if you want to see some of her videos. Bridget is a very successful artist, by the way. Actually went to college. Seems like a regular smart person until you start talking about the abduction and the spaceships and the aliens and the hybrid children and the impregnation. And then she gets all weird and that's when we fall deeply in love. So we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Yeah, it's Ask an Alien Abductee.
You got to go on a trip on board an alien ship. You said you got probed a bit. You have a hybrid baby.
Aliens stolen ETs and you're growing our minds that you're blowing.
Where's your half alien baby?
Hey, we just met you and you seem crazy. But we're gonna ask an alien abductee baby.
Effort, zero for style, zero for star quality.
Oh, stop it.
And you know what? I'm being generous.
We like
Simon.
Let's start with Tetsu. He's on line two. We'll get to as many calls as we have. Naturally, the phone lines are booked because why wouldn't they be if you have a chance to ask an alien abductee? Tetsu, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's your question for Bridget?
How do you tell people that you've been? How do you tell people that you date that you've been abducted?
Oh, I just tell them.
You tell them right up front?
Oh yeah,
right up front.
Well, I mean, it's not the first thing. Like, hi, I'm Bridget. I've been abducted.
Right,
but if
I were to date you for one night, I would find this out early.
Probably.
All right,
it's a good elimination tool.
Elimination tool.
Has it scared anyone away, Bridget?
To date hybrid children.
What?
Ooh, good question. Can you only date hybrid children?
Do the alien implant in you that you can only date hybrid children?
I would like to date fellow hybrid children that are more like me, but it doesn't scare men away. I mean, it's like more
Wouldn't
of an
scare
interest.
Me away.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank right. you very much for the call, Tezu. Let's go to Rick now. He's on line 5 at 1-800-520-1067. Rick, hi, you're on with Bridget. Go ahead.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Bridget.
Hi.
I just wanted to see if you've ever been to their home planet.
I don't remember. Oh. I mean, I think I've been on their mothership, but not their home planet.
See, they don't want to take you home to mom yet.
No, not quite.
Is it always the same spaceship, or have you been on a variety of crafts throughout the years?
The same one that I remember, but I may have been on other ones.
How many times have you been abducted? You have any idea?
A lot.
I know, but 10?
10. 100? More than 10. Probably 100. I don't know, 50 times. A lot of times.
Would you agree to whatever number Kevin threw out? If he
as
said 72, would
you
be, yes, 72.
As long as Bean backs you up.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's go to Cabo. Cabo is, I'd like to go to Cabo, actually, but let's go to Cabo on line 7. He's got a great question, I think, because my theory has always been that most people who describe their alien abductions are really describing things they've seen in movies, and I'm wondering if that's true. Cabo, what do you got for us?
Well, my question is for her is, which movie comes closest to what she's seen on the mothership and the aliens itself?
The aliens themselves? I mean, they usually overdo it a bit. It's not just like the small little guys with the round heads and big eyes. They kind of make them more, like, evil and big, and so I can't think of any
chance. So they're shorter?
They're short. They're little guys.
They're little midgets.
Yeah.
The aliens are midgets. We can kick their asses. Let's go.
But let's go back to Cabo's question and kind of hold you. If you could come up with, and I'm sure you're fascinated with alien movies, too, because of your experience, which one is the closest in terms of, say, how they look? Like, for instance, is E.T.? Is that pretty accurate?
E.T.
is
pretty
like
accurate.
That?
I'll give you E.T. Yeah. But right. But you have to understand, they're less, like, physical. So they're not just, like, really tangible. They kind of, like, glow and they can disappear. So they're not as real
So they're sort of spirit-like rather than having a body like yours.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cabo. Let's go to Christina. Christina is on line 8. Ask an alien abductee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I have heard from a very reliable military source that there are good and evil alien species. Do you think the ones you've encountered are truly good, or could they have evil intentions?
I do believe that the ones that I've encountered are good, and for positive reasons. A lot of the people that experience fear or negativity with aliens is a reflection of their own fear that they see when they look at the alien going, oh my gosh, you're exploding everything that I know in my ego. So a lot of the time it's the person's own fear.
And you mentioned us on the phone, and I think it bears repeating for people who weren't with us last week, Bridget, that you think that they do have a plan with these hybrid children, right? Like at some point they're going to unleash them on the earth to come down and live amongst us, right?
Yeah, it was very intentional. They didn't abduct millions of people just for fun.
Do you know why?
To help us, because they needed to repopulate their civilization.
Are they going
to
be smarter than us and get all good grades and stuff, and then we're going to look like a-holes?
In teleportation and things like that, they're going to get A's.
But we
have many things to give to them, because they don't know how to be fully human. So
her answer, Kevin, was in teleportation, they'll get an A. That was what she said. Like, that's a course that people take. Come on, listen up.
Don't you want to take that class?
Yes,
I do.
Let's go to Nathan on line 4. He's got another excellent question for Bridget, our alien abductee. Hi, Nathan.
Good morning, alien people.
Hi.
How are you doing? I'm Bridget. Do you believe that you have been, during your probing or anything, that you've had a microchip or some type of tracking device placed on your body to watch your day-to-day interaction, your day-to-day lifestyle?
Oh, so they can track her and keep a hold of her?
Exactly.
Right. Yes, sir.
You do.
Most people that have alien abductions have devices that they put in and implants, and so they put in amnesiac ones so that they forget in their heads, usually, and then they have them in their hips and different tracking devices so that they can monitor and find them.
So if you got on a plane right now and flew to New Zealand or something, the aliens would still be able to find you. You think you can't escape from them on Earth,
I don't think you can escape from them. They know where you are.
Right.
All of this sounds very reasonable. I am convinced. I got to be honest. It all makes – I was a little sketchy when you first sat down, but it's all coming together for me now. I think I'm with you. Sadly, we're almost out of time. Hybridchildrencommunity.com is where people can go to see more videos. And you do interact with people online there if people want to ask you additional questions that they didn't have time to get through, right?
Absolutely. We have a Facebook page, and so everyone can ask questions there.
And your dad's videos up there as well?
Yeah.
Do the aliens use Facebook, by the way?
I don't know at this time.
Mm. Okay. You can ask him next time you're up there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll get back
how long
to you.
How long has it been since you've been up in the ship?
These are the Zeta Reticuli, the Grays.
And of course,
so
obviously.
Most of the I don't think I'm interacting with them as much anymore. I'm working with other civilizations.
But, I mean, how long has it been since you've been abducted? Has it been a year, 5 years?
It's probably been more than a year.
What other civilizations are you working with?
Pleiades, Sirius, different star systems that I'm working with, Esasani.
Uh-huh.
Would you be sad if you never got abducted again? Would you miss it?
I'm okay with not getting abducted. I don't want to lose my interaction with the other planets because really like them. Thank you.
Because you want to be on the right side of the alien invasion. When they show up, you want to be able to go, hey, guys, remember me. I'm one of you.
Exactly. Allies.
All right.
Yep.
All right, quickly. I know we're out of time, Bean, but just what kind of music do the aliens listen to? That's what Kevin wants to know. Any answer to that?
Do they listen to music?
Oh, to me?
Yeah.
Listen to music? I think they just listen to K-Rock.
Do you think the government will track you down? Yes. Well, your experience has always been positive?
Yes. The government, that's over.
Do you feel safe with them?
Yes.
Why do you think you're the chosen one?
I'm not a chosen one. Everyone is chosen.
Hmm. All right. I have no more questions.
Bridget, you're the best. Please keep in touch.
Thanks so much, guys.
Hey, if you do get taken up again, though, let us know.
I'll report back.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat now on a Wednesday Kevin and Bean show. Here's Ralph Garman.
Everybody talking about... Hello, there we go.
Oh, your mic's so low.
I don't know either. All I know is now the music's very loud.
What?
Now the music is also very loud, along with my microphone.
That I can control.
Everyone talking about the cross of celebrity and politics again here as we get into the DNC. Eva Longoria speaking. A Cal Penn involved. Now we know who Nicki Minaj is going to vote for.
All right, finally.
Yeah, everyone talking about the new Lil Wayne mixtape song, Dedication 4, which was released yesterday, has a rap in it by Nicki Minaj, where she tells us, I'm a Republican voting for Mitt Romney. All you bitches effing up, all you lazy bitches effing up the economy. Yeah,
all right.
You lazy bitches.
Yeah.
Mitt Romney says no.
I was holding out to see who Nikki
too.
Was going to vote for.
Got away
I made
from Minaj.
for the Minaj party. See where they're going. More music news. Puddler Mudd frontman Wes Scanlon is in trouble again. Police in Austin, Texas, had to pull him off an American Airlines flight that was going from Boston to Los Angeles. They needed to make an emergency landing because he was too drunk to fly any longer. He was being a jerk with one of the flight attendants. She was refusing to serve him alcohol.
Does she not know who he is?
Because he was already drunk. So he started started some shenanigans. And the next thing you know, they had to make an emergency landing to pull him off the plane. Wow. Cops showed up and took him off.
They don't like that.
He's being charged with interfering with a flight crew's duties, which, by the way, is a federal offense.
Said duties.
He's... already in trouble because in July he was nabbed for cocaine possession. Now, the judge in that case let him off with a warning, saying if he stayed out of trouble for 18 months, his record would be cleared.
Uh-oh.
That is not the case. Now he's got a federal beef hanging over his head, so we'll have to wait and see what happens, but that's not good news.
I wonder, and we haven't really talked to flight attendants very often on this show, but it'd be interesting to know what the training is and how they decide that somebody is too drunk to continue on a flight. I mean, it has to go beyond just cutting them off. They have to at some point be abusive or not get out of the aisle or won't stop talking or something. But, I mean, that's a tough decision to make that you're going to land a plane and screw up hundreds of other people's schedules, right?
Kevin, what's it like when you fly?
How dare you?
I'm just wondering how they handle you.
I've never been taken off a flight.
Yeah. As far as you know.
Last week.
Sometimes you wake up and you're no longer on the plane and there's strawberry ice cream all over the terminal.
And your pants and wedding ring are missing, if I recall one particular story
with this.
And your ninja swords are under your kids' beds. We got to tell that story again sometime.
We don't have time.
Green Day is doing something they've never done before. They're allowing someone to censor their albums. Billy Joe, Mike, and Trey gave the okay for their label to do clean versions of the upcoming trio new albums, Uno, Dos, and Trey. This means Walmart will finally stock Green Day albums, meaning a boatload of more money for Green Day, basically. Instead of bleeping out any offensive words, whatever Walmart thinks is offensive, Green Day actually recorded clean versions for Walmart.
That's a lot of recording.
Band also made a clean version of American Idiot available for sale on Walmart as well. The title track no longer says, maybe I'm the F word for homosexual America. Instead, the clean edition goes, maybe I'm the America, which says nothing about anything. So, got that going for us.
Now it says nothing.
Now it says nothing.
Isn't it funny that most of us go out of our way to not accidentally download the clean version of anything?
Because oh, it's
that's
the worst.
Always
oh,
the worst. It drives me crazy. Yeah.
No one likes the clean versions.
Nope.
Except Walmart and Mormons. Mitt Romney says yes.
And little kids, I guess. I mean, that's really who they're doing it for, right? Is people who want to be able to buy an album for their kids and not have those
suppose,
kind of
yeah.
words.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus is in trouble with the Jacksons.
Oh, what?
Katherine Jackson, grandmother of the Jackson kids, Michael's kids since they passed, and currently they're one of their guardians, has announced that she doesn't want her granddaughter Paris Jackson socializing with Miley anymore because Katherine apparently doesn't approve of her partying and wild behavior.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Katherine also is scared of her giant llama teeth, she says.
That's in the quote?
It is. She's going to eat Paris, and that's understandable. Entourage hottie Emmanuel Shariki in the news.
Yes.
She is reportedly in talks to star opposite Luke Wilson in an upcoming sports movie called Million Dollar Man, where Luke will play a down-on-his-luck route driver for a soda company who's given a second chance in life as a football kicker. Oh, really?
Again?
You're going to make this movie? They actually did make this movie once, a TV movie,
oh.
Starring Tony Danza.
Where he Strike one and two.
Where he played a garbage man in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Whose garbage truck was so beaten up that the lever to make the masher work, the compactor,
yes.
He had to kick it?
No.
In order to get it to start?
No way.
And the Eagles were looking for a field goal kicker, and they hire him.
That's not a real movie.
He walks on and becomes the field goal kicking trash man of Philadelphia.
Nope.
And I believe that was the title of the movie, if
that's
I'm not mistaken.
Not real.
I got to look up and find. Dave, the King of Mexico, if you happen to be listening to the show at this particular moment, do a little research and find out the actual title of the Tony Danza field goal kicking trash compactor man, trash man movie.
Tony
Danza.
Tony Danza.
And this is completely different from that Mark Wahlberg movie where they had a civilian who tried out for the Eagles and became a star.
But
right?
That was a real story. Vince Papale was a real guy who walked on and,
right.
And actually became a wide receiver for the Eagles. But this, the Tony Danza one, was a fictional story about a trash man who became a kicker. And now apparently Luke Wilson is going to play a soda truck driver who becomes a field goal kicker.
So wow.
We don't need any more field goal kicker.
Tried movies. That once.
Tried that.
Spit it out.
Did not do so well. Sad news about the passing of Michael Clark Duncan, who passed away from a heart condition after his cardiac arrest last July. His fiance Omarosa and he apparently were making wedding plans. They were secretly engaged and had set the wedding date for next January. They were in the midst of making plans when he had that heart attack in July. And it's just been released that they were engaged. So even sadder news that he passed away when he did. Omarosa was spotted sobbing uncontrollably last Monday at LAX as she left town. So as you can imagine, it's a tough time for her and his family. So
naked.
Yes,
be naked.
Don't believe nudity was involved. And Christina Aguilera has a boyfriend who is too broke to marry her. His name is Matthew Rutler. Apparently he wants to marry her, but he hasn't had a steady job since he worked as a production assistant on Burlesque, the movie where they met, and cannot afford to buy her a ring. He's got the perfect excuse. Beer Mug used that for years, didn't he? Didn't
he still uses it.
Still using that excuse?
Yeah.
Lastly, Kanye West. Talking about his girlfriend getting his music. He's got a new album coming out called Cruel Summer. New track off that album has made its way to the internet. It's called Click. It's, it's interesting. When he talks about his girlfriend, first of all, he did another song called Perfect Bitch that reportedly was written for and dedicated to her, which she just found charming and endearing.
Sure. Because he's famous.
In this one, he references her fame and the source of that fame.
break records of Louis, ate breakfast at Gucci. My girl a superstar, all from my home movie.
Yeah, yeah. Talking about the fact that she banged Ray J, in a home sex tape, and that's how she got famous. And there's Kanye boasting and celebrating that fact.
He's a jackass.
Come on. Obama, that's no way to be. The week of your convention. Today's celebrity birthdays. Cat Graham from The Vampire Diaries is 26. Rose McGowan turns 39 years old. Talk about a perfect bitch. Dweezil Zappa is 43 years old. Brad Wilk, drummer for Rage. And Audioslave is 44. Michael Keaton, 61 years old today. Soon to be seen in the reboot of the RoboCop movie. Raquel Welch turns 72. And actor and comedian Bob Newhart is 83. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. All new show tomorrow morning. We have highlights of the latest Honey Boo Boo.
Oh, thank God.
Honey Boo Boo.
Which is just an amazing, amazing reality show.
Yeah.
About some trailer trash.
Is this the one where June's heart bursts?
I don't think we've gotten to that one yet.
For sweeps.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Brand new internet roundup tomorrow. We have Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. We have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. And we have the star of Children's Hospital, Lake Bell, in our studios.
I love Lake Bell.
Yes, I do too. So that's tomorrow morning on an all new Kevin.